Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to teach the girls, but they not listening.
You wanna be just like me, I'm a classy girl. But after the drinks they take me, I'm a bad girl. They wanna play all day cause I'm a nasty girl. If you wanna be just like me, I'm a classy girl. I'm a nasty girl. I'm a bad girl. I'm a nasty girl. I'm a classy girl. If you wanna be just like me, come to the queen, can take me. The you wanna play all day, cause I'm a nasty girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a I chant. The way I look, my style, my time, you think you took. But bitch, I wrote this silly book. Now I'ma sit and let the beat cook.
Prick at that, 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 so the legendary House of Escada presents Mission Possible House Ball, April 13th, 2013, in Dallas, Texas. Every single category is for cash. Grand prize, runway for $1,000. Mini grands include Butch Queen Legendary Performance for $500. Butch Queen Trilogy, Face, Body, and Realness for $500. Stem Queen Trilogy, Face, Body, and Realness for $500. Sex Siren for $500. Open to All Performance for $500. 60 Seconds of Fame Performance. Sing, Dance, or Lip Sync for $250. This will be an early event, with doors opening at 6 p.m. and LSS starting promptly at 7 p.m., followed by Grand March. Admission to this event is $30. Tables are $100 if purchased by April 1st, $150 afterwards. Free admission given to everyone tested, and the house or family with the most members tested receives $1,000. Second place house or family receives $500, sponsored by Abounding Prosperity. The icons, Jack and Selvin Mizrahi, will be on the mic. The location, the luxurious Dallas Informant Building, located at 1950 North Stemmons Freeway in Dallas, Texas. Please contact Father Danny Escada for questions, for host hotel info, or for table purchases at 972-370-6473. Or the overall Father Neiman Marcus Escada via Facebook at Marcus Fox. Also, visit the event page on Facebook, Escada Mission Possible House Ball, for detailed information. The 5th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, February 23rd, 2013. Grand Prize Number 1, Open to All Team State, The Dream Team, for $2,000. Grand Prize Number 2, Open to All Performance, for $1,000. Legends vs. $1,000 Club Winners versus of the years versus challengers. Mini grants include Drag's Realness for $500, Butch Queen's Schoolboy Realness for $500, Butch Queen European Runway for $500, and Female Figure Runway for $250. Again, that's Saturday, February 23rd. The 5th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Location, Victory Lane Entertainment Venue, 2330 Tipton Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina. Doors open at 9 p.m. Awards presentation begins at 10. Ball begins at 11 p.m. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $200. Seats, 10, with refreshments. Your commentator for the evening, the icon Jack Mizrahi, and your DJ, legendary Von Allure. There will be free and confidential HIV testing that will be offered by the Powerhouse Project. And don't forget the official Carolina Awards Ball Aftermath, that Sunday, February 24th.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of Emergency Show. It's a whole new year, 2013, and this is the first show of the new year. Thank you for tuning in. For those of you that are listening to the State of Emergency Show for the first time, I want to say thank you for being a part of it. And it pretty much works like this, because I get a lot of people that are hitting me up. Is it that people are just very forgetful? The show comes on at around 11:30, between 11:30 and 11:45, depending on my schedule. Until then, you do pretty much hear music and stuff. And then I do come on the air and bring on our panelists. The show is very different than our Monday and Tuesday night shows, because we do have a panelist of guests that sit down and talk with us about different issues that we are facing in our community and within the ballroom scene, as well as within ourselves. One by one, we bring the panelists on, and we kind of don't talk over each other, attack each other, or anything like that. We give our opinions, and we go to the next one based on the order that they have called in. So for the people in the chat room that act like this is their first time calling in or listening, that's how it goes. So hello, chat room. Thank you guys for tuning in, and as well as to all the callers and everyone all over Facebook. So I wasn't supposed to be hosting the show tonight. Someone else was. They were running late. But actually, I am going to be stepping back a little bit from the show, because for those of you who know me, know my business, they should know that the first quarter of the year for me is very, very busy, and I just may not have the time all the time. But I will still be there, especially in spirit, or as backup. But it's okay. It was best, I guess, to come on the air for the first show anyway and be a part of it. So that's how it's pretty much going to work. On Monday night, hello. Love you too, Mr. Man. Monday night, we have the weekend recap with our host, the legendary Mother Kelly Mizrahi, that pretty much covers any of the events that took place the past weekend, balls, scandals, gossip, anything that has took place that weekend with her co-host Alexis, No, Rodney Prodigy, and Miss London Bridge. On Tuesday night, we have the Tuesday night tea party, where they just let it all out, let their hair out, tea and gossip, and just have fun. It's just one old big tea party with Jason Bridge and Mark Ebony, Naima Ebony, J-Rock Ebony, Tiffany Chanel, Enrique Allure, and I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. I think. If I did, I'm sorry. And on Wednesday night, we have the State of Emergency show, where we try to keep this show on more of a positive and serious note, but we still have fun and kiki with it. And we do talk about some very serious issues. We have been on the air with State of Emergency show now for a while, and I want to say thank you. And to this day, I still get a lot of people that reach out to me and talk about so much that they're facing, and glad that we do have this format. And then, of course, we do have the haters as well, which you know what I'm going to say about shit, that. Or you guys know how I feel about that. We don't bite our tongue on this show, so we will curse and shit like that. We will read and throw shade and shit like that. But it's more, again, on a positive level. So the reason why I'm saying all this is because we do have some new listeners tonight. Hello, Puss in Boots. Hello, Beauty. Hello, Sakina. We do have some new listeners, so I just wanted to make sure we covered all that before we go any further. Tonight, we will be talking about different topics closing out the week. One of them will be a response and rebuttal into Sanaya's Got Juice video that has been surfacing the web for the past couple of days. A lot of people feel a certain way about the video and some of the things that she said in it, and they have been trying to tune in on Mondays during the recap and on Tuesdays during the tea party on some serious notes. And those in recognize that you want to talk about the seriousness, unless it's mainly needed, but that's where the floor is open on. The floor is open for you to do that tonight. So for those of you that had those issues and topics in reference to the video, tonight is the night that you can call in and talk about it. I know one of them were about the children, little children, And how open should we be about them? Should they see two men kissing and things of that sort? So we are going to be talking about that and some other stuff when it comes to that. We also are going to be going into a new segment. And it's not, you guys, when I said it, everybody just ran with it. It's not a big deal. It's just a little segment, something to have fun with. And it's something that I'm going to do every Wednesday, or I want people to do on Wednesday, where we're going to talk about bottom-feeding freaks. Who is going to be the bottom-feeding freak of the week, the BFF of the week? Who caused the most drama, scandal, just took it out of the norm? You know, we get bitches that are talking about they like to get pissed on. We got DJs that are sucking dick for money, and they don't want to get paid. They'll just DJ your ball and suck your dick for it. We got motherfuckers that are living in basements calling into the radio show attacking co-hosts. It's just a whole bunch of bullshit that's just not going to be acceptable. And tonight, we're going to give somebody a title for the week. And next week, we'll give somebody else a title, so forth and so on. It'll be a voting process for who will be the BFF of the week, the bottom feeding freak. So, now we can go on to the show. The first person we're going to bring on the show is all the way from, I think it's Dallas, Texas. J-Rock Ebony, you're on the line.
How you doing tonight, Jazzy?
Hi, J-Rock. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
How was your day?
It was long and difficult, but, hey, I had to go to work, so... I still love what I do, so it was okay.
Okay, that's cool. And you know what? For you saying, watch, I'm last, no, you're not going to be last because you've got so much to say. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Jazzy. Hey, little brother. How are you?
Oh, how are you?
What's up?
I am tired. It's been one long day. One meeting after another, then rehearsal, and then somebody, I kind of sort of slipped, dropped the ball, but they'll forgive me.
Yeah, you're forgiven. But if I start venting and all the rest of that shit tonight, it's going to be your fault because I didn't want to come on because I knew what I was harboring inside.
I know.
So it's going to be your fault.
Well, then.
My sister, Amaya Revlon, you're on the air.
Hey, Jazz, how are you? Hey, Jason. Hey, J-Rock.
Hey, Laura.
How are you guys?
Well. Are you in New York yet?
I am not. I'll be in New York next week. I end up moving, and I had a lot of other things going on, so I did not go to New York, but I will be in New York next week.
Well, congratulations on the new move.
Thank you. I've been boggled down with my husband.
What are you going to New York for?
Huh?
What are you going to New York for?
I wasn't going to spend New Year's there, but my husband didn't want to spend New Year's there. So I am going to prepare myself for the coldest winter ever because I will be walking the coldest winter ever. So I'm going there to help my house get prepared for coldest winter ever.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. We have Mark Ebony. You're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. Hey, Jason. Hey, Vano.
Hey, brother.
Hey.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up?
How you doing, Jason? I mean, I'm Mark.
Hey, Jasmine.
No job. I'm with it. Naima, you're on the air. Naima.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Somebody contact her and let her know she's unmuted. Enrique, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey, Jasmine. How was your new year and everything?
Everything was good.
Okay, so.
Everything was really, really good. I want to go to a caller really quickly. I'm not sure who it is, but they pressed one really quickly. I just don't want them to sit there on hold. Before we go into our special guest that will be coming on the air, starting off one of our topics for tonight. 347-305, you're on the air.
Well, if you save the number, then you won't have that problem.
Girl, you know, that's the problem. Okay, let me look at this sheet. Okay, what is 347-301?
That's my cell phone.
People and their numbers, I swear. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, Jasmine.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, Alexis, haven't talked
to you
in a while.
Did y'all call my number already?
Good yes, shit. Naima, we did.
Let me say this, Jasmine. You know, when I first heard, I tell Vonna this all the time. When I first started talking to her on the show, I used to think she was just this little quiet, little meek, you know. And when I started to talk to her on a daily basis and see her in action, I'm like, bitch, that's all a front.
No, it's not.
Oh, you see all that sweet shit you're getting now?
Alexis, it reminded me of something else I wanted to say. We're going to end the show out tonight during the last hour with what I want to call our pre-party or pre-show scandal show, since we all and pretty much are big scandal.
I don't
want to
talk about it. I don't want
to
talk about
it. And it comes on to Marvin Hanga.
I'm not going to hang up.
So we just want to kind of give, you know, kind of get everyone in the spirit of things and get everyone excited for a scandal that comes on tomorrow.
Alexis is just mad because she will be in transit tomorrow when the scandal is on, so she won't be able to watch it until Friday.
Oh, wow.
We'll make sure we tell all the details in the room.
No, we will not do that tomorrow. I will remove all posts if you do that.
Oh, my God. Here you go, Jason. I will just text it to her phone.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's get this out. Kelly is, I don't know where Kelly is. It's not Kelly tonight. Kelly is probably either listening or relaxing like she deserves because she works so hard. Or she just may be having fun. So that is where my sister is. And it's not
so
that tonight, that's Monday.
With a pink nipple. All right.
Let's get into our first topic. Enrique, I think you're going to find this one interesting, and I'm going to let you take the floor with it. Tonight, we have a special guest that is going to be coming on. For those of you who are aware of the movie How Do I Look, we are going to be bringing on Wolfgang to talk about some issues that the community is facing with GMHC and the Latex Project. Basically, I'm not going to kind of harbor on it. I'm going to let him take over with it, and you guys can feel free to ask all the questions as you guys talk to him. But pretty much what's happening is the money is not being dispensed the way it should. And where is it going? Why are people getting $250,000 salaries, buying cars, buying homes, but the community is still at a standstill? Why is the only investments for these children little kiki functions that you pretty much have to pay to get in, latex balls that they've been charging for the past couple of years, and voguing classes? So I'm going to bring him on and let him talk to you guys about it. Welcome to the show, Wolfgang.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, everybody.
Hey, welcome, Wolfgang. Welcome.
Thank you
for
inviting me.
If you don't know who Wolfgang is, Wolfgang, tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you have done for the community and a little bit of your history so they know who you are, and then you can take
over
the show.
Originally, I'm from Germany, and I came to New York 28 years ago, and I've been very involved in the gay community for 20 years. And I used to be a club promoter, and because I'm, you know, European white, I had access to all the big clubs when I like Limelight, Palladium, Tunnel, and I was also involved in sports, in bowling, and was part of the bowling organizing, and for the gay games in Vancouver, I I created a fundraiser, and when I met Mike Stone, who was the youngest black gay club promoter in New York, and we became friends. And he introduced me to the gay black community, which was who crossed over into the club scene from the ball community, was Kevin Omni. And this is how I was introduced to the ball community. It was first Mike Stone, and because I had access to all the clubs, I helped him to find clubs where he could do his parties. So I was always supportive from that goes back to 89. And then after I met Kevin Omni and was introduced to David Altima, Pepella Beja, Octavia St. Laurent, became like close friends. And so that was my introduction, basically. And I was at the time also involved with the Imperial Court, which was like a bunch of people dressing up in drag, raising money for AIDS. And I was part back then also when GMHC, they had the dance at the Javits Center, and that's when it was a huge support from the white gay community. And over the years, the white gay community back in the 80s walked away from GMHC because they were asking the same question then, what you guys ask now is where's the money going? So GMHC already has a huge reputation and a long history of controversialism, and it started in the 80s and continued in the 90s and even now. The GMHC was founded by one of the founding members, Larry Kramer, who was part of, it was seven people, gay men. They started the phone line at GMHC so people could get information about the disease because nobody knew at the time what it was. So
Wolfgang, really quickly, we have a lot of callers that are calling from all over, not just the New York area. So if you don't mind, can you explain to them what GMHC is?
GMHC is a health, AIDS health organization. And they're basically serving the communities with health, specifically HIV and HIV-related health issues, which also includes mental, all kinds of consultation, support, not just specific AIDS medication and related things. So basically, they are here to serve us in health-related issues. And then how they ended up creating their own ballroom subculture through their balls and kiki functions and voguing classes, you know, they have really stepped over their plate in how they got involved in one particular community, because there's other communities like the flagging community is also a dance form that originated in the gay community. They have been almost wiped out completely by AIDS, and the leather community in New York is at this point not existent. So somehow they got these AIDS organizations got involved in the ball community because you guys let them in and let them do what they want, and then over time they have completely taken advantage. And one example, you know, you mentioned earlier that they start charging now at the balls. And when I had a meeting, Kevin Omni and I had a meeting with GMHC. It was from the ball community. It was Luna Khan, who's kind of the house ball representative at the organization. And it was Monforte, who is in charge of the latest project. The way these programs are set up is you have to have somebody with a degree who is actually in charge of the program, and then it breaks down to they hire somebody from the ball community who then represents the ballroom community at the AIDS organization. And this is kind of the infrastructure, how it's set up. But the thing with that is these health organizations have their own agenda, because they are basically getting funded and supported by corporations like the pharmaceuticals who make the drugs, and, you know, the doctors who all benefit from any community. It's not just the ball community. So what happens is, like, for example, a Luna then has to represent to a degree the interest of the AIDS organization because they are the ones who pay him the salary. And so sometimes over time, it reached a point where, you know, GMHC, who I don't know who gave them any ballroom status. You know, they're acting like, we can't ask them any questions. They do what they want, and their policy is Luna, sit there in the meeting. Everybody is doing in the ball community what they want, and that's exactly what the GMHC adopted. This is kind of what their mission is. Hey, everybody's doing what they want, and so can we. And, they are a not-for-profit organization. GMHC is not an individual, so they cannot adopt and self-proclaim themselves, we have the same rights as you and I or anybody else. No, they don't. But unfortunately, they have been getting away with this for so long. And I can remember 15 years back when everybody was complaining about the free balls and that shouldn't be, but nobody really addressed the issue because the ball community really doesn't have an organizing body where there is a council or some kind of leadership who just steps up to the plate and said, wait a minute, what you guys doing needs to be a little bit more controlled. And I give you an example. Two examples. The paying balls now, when I ask them, where's the money going? Because when you read their press release, GMHC only is hosting the latex ball. It doesn't say anywhere on the website. You can find actually very little information about the latex ball, which they have been supporting for over 20 years. And to find nothing on the website that explains what that is, that alone is already questionable why that is. I mean, now we know. For example, when I ask them where's the money going from the proceeds, the money you make at the door, is it a fundraiser? And they told me, no, it's not a fundraiser. And I said, well, where's the money going? They said, oh, if we raise money, that goes to other programs for at GMHC. So basically what they're telling us, they come into our community, they use our talents, put the ball on, sell tickets, and take that money to pay for other programs.
But these programs are not for our community.
It's not for the ball community. They're using the ballroom community to raise money for other programs. But on the other hand, they're describing, the ball community is a disenfranchised community with no resources, runaways from their families, and they're rejected. They describe on one hand the community, which is how they package the community so they get the grant money on one hand. And on the other hand, then they use that same community, they are like, describing as disenfranchised and poor and no resources, and they use that same community to raise money for other programs. This is like what they call pimping a community. And this is, this is what this GMHC program has become. And, GMHC is kind of setting the example, and then that same idea has been now adopted across the country in other cities as well.
So explain what's happening across the country.
It's the same concept. GMHC started it, and now the other agencies do the same thing. They have free balls, or now they're charging, so they can then write a grant, let's say, for $10. The event costs $5,000. They get maybe $10,000 for a grant. Then they spend maybe $3,000 on the kids, and everything else goes somewhere else. So that's another issue. So legally, this is all cutting into the house ball economics.
I'm gonna bring someone on that would like to discuss a little bit further with you about this topic. Marcus, you're on the air.
Hi, hello, everybody. Okay. I want to say I love your work. I do appreciate your video, your documentary. I have a question. Well, I have a few questions for you. Have you offered to serve on GMHC's advisory board or any type of committee that kind of
I've been blacklisted by GMHC since Arbit Santana. They actually, during the filming of How Do I Look, I was harassed, my crew was harassed, taping at the Latex Ball. And then later, after that, I formed a not-for-profit. I wanted to put a board of directors together by people in the ball community. And I learned, like, the special interest group. All of a sudden, all these guys ended up on the board of directors, and I couldn't even make a decision myself anymore, because the board of directors was all people from special interest group, and they were actually outvoting me, where I had to then ask them if I wanted to make a decision about my own film.
Okay.
And Abe Santana had always been played a role in the background.
Now, I understand it. Now, with
GHMHC. No, I offered to help. I mean, I addressed these issues. What's her name? Latina was executive director at the time. And I wrote to her, informed her about the harassment, and, you know, somebody with my experience should be, be considered in becoming some kind of advisor and so forth. And because in the industry in general, if you're a truth teller, you are pretty much out of luck. It's like being a whistleblower, because they kind of operate in,
I'm sorry, I understand. You said being a whistleblower, you're kind of out of luck. Now, is that the only woman you talked to, or did you talk to other organizations, to somebody who tried to band with you, or at least give some...
I mean, that is becoming somewhat across the board. I mean, this is not only happening to me with the AIDS organizations. POCC was the same thing. Offering help, it doesn't go anywhere, because these people understand what Wolfgang represents, because I have a long history of being a community activist.
Now, may I ask, when did you initially feel as though, because these people's budgets are usually pretty private, unless you're on their committee, the advisory board, or some a staffer, usually their budgets are pretty pretty hidden, because it's government money. I mean, it's a way to come up with it, but the actual line item budgets on what they're funding or exactly where their money is coming from.
Okay, the funding breaks down like this. In GMHC's case, they have $6 million coming in every year from the AIDS Walk. This is not government money, which they don't have to report to. They can, for them, it's basically $6 million is pocket money for them, because there's
not necessarily
written
pocket
for them.
Money.
How much money? How much money for the pocket money?
For the last 2 years, they raised over $6 million on the AIDS Walk.
So they don't have to be, so you're saying that's like pocket money for them, so they don't have to account for that money? I thought there was some kind of bottle.
Yeah, they're not made accountable, because this is people like you and me going to our friends, collecting money and give it to them.
It's all discretionary funding. They can spend it however they choose to spend it. It's not like when the government gives you money, the government basically says, you basically write in your budget, okay, we want to do this, we want to do this. So we want so much money for to buy tests. We want so much money to pay for blood. If you have to spend the money the way that you told the government you're going to spend the money.
Right.
But like so what happens is, like in the sense of a latex ball, a lot of organizations will write in their budget to have a community event. It doesn't have to be a ball. It could be a carnival. It could be anything. It could be a pageant. It could be something for Pride. And then if they charge an admission, that money is to offset their cost of what they spent. Now, I personally believe that what they take in at the latex ball doesn't pay for everything that they do. But what they do it for is because that government money that they took to have this event, they now have taken in discretionary funds, and they can spend it however they choose to. to. So although they might have spent $50,000 on the ball, if they don't take $50,000 up at the door, it's okay because that money was funded. But now they have this, let's say they took in $30,000. That $30,000 can go to something that the government may have not would have wanted to fund, i.e. Maybe a transgendered project or something that they just couldn't get approval for, that their CDC monitor wouldn't give them approval for.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think that they're robbing the ballroom community, because they may not be. We don't know what they're taking in and what they're spending on the ball. I know Roseland is very expensive, so it's not
well,
like they're
tens of thousands of dollars. But let me tell you something else. If you are a not-for-profit organization, and if you are a health organization, GMHC is not a corporate entertainment company who books talent and puts on these events and loses tens of thousands of dollars. To me, that tells me somebody has too much money if you can afford to lose tens of thousands of dollars.
They don't look at, well, this is the point I think. I don't think they're looking at it as losing money with gang. I think it's exposure to the programs that they have available.
Well,
POCC, if
me.
No one knew what POCC
was.
I was
in the meeting, and that question was directly asked, and the answer was, we don't care how much money we lose.
Exactly. They're doing it for the exposure. Do you realize now there are HIV organizations that are going to ball promoters and saying, I'll give you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, but I want to be able to pass out literature at your ball. I want to do testing.
Okay.
So, I mean, everybody's
okay.
doing
you can,
it.
You can, you know, you're entitled to that opinion. And, you know, I obviously it's clear that you don't have a problem with that, and I can completely
well, I mean,
understand
what,
that.
If they're reaching
I
out to the community, this is my question. If they're reaching out, if the ballroom community is affected in infected in the manner in which, you know, it's being reported, and they see this need of people who really need to be tested and helped and get a link to care, if they're willing to do it, what's wrong with it? Because the money's not going to somebody's pocket? I mean,
well, but how many people did they test?
If they help one person, it to me it's a benefit. I mean, if they help one person get linkage to care, they've done something.
A benefit for another program. It would make sense to me if they use that benefit to put money back into the pockets of the houseball community. But their intention is to take that money and put it in somebody else's community.
But all in the linkage of it dealing with HIV and care. So let's say in the ballroom community, it's mainly Black and Latino. But if they were to take some of this money that was supposedly taken from a ball or raised at a ball or funded from a ball and then moved it to a community that's helping, if their goal is to reach HIV, it's not just for Blacks or Latinos. It's for whoever. This disease is, you know, taking care, you know, kind of hurting everyone.
Well,
so, I mean, why does the money have to, why, you know.
But if you don't feel the ballroom community is in need of resources, then okay.
I don't think the ballroom community needs a check for HIV. This is something that we're doing. This is something that we could prevent ourselves. If we are responsible and we do the right things, this is something that we can, you know, we're basically saying, we're laying down and taking it with an iron fence. No, we don't need checks. We don't need HASA to give us apartments. We need education.
Wait a minute, Marcus. You said you don't need what? What about people
we don't
who
need? We don't.
Accidentally?
I mean, I understand those are things, but basically, it seems what is coming off is like, well, we everything because the ballroom scene is for us by us. Everything that comes in, I don't believe that GMHC or any organization is making money off of us. They're not doing that. Some people might have jobs that may not have, you know, been. Who might have not been eligible to get that kind of job. They're working in a field now where they're learning, but that kind of happens. It's, you know, nepotism is alive. But we can't say that, you know, just because they take in $100,000 at a ball, that $100,000 should be spent on ballroom. They're doing what they agreed to do. They're coming in the community to make us aware about the disease that's kind of, you know, ravaging our community, not to pay our bills and get us apartments and get us jobs. That's your responsibility as an adult. not to pay for whatever you want them to pay for, to put money in a community. They're doing their part. They are an AIDS and HIV prevention.
So what are you saying? So what are you saying they should do with the money that they raise? So what are you saying they should do with the money that they raise?
As long as it goes to HIV prevention and care, who cares what they do with it? They want to give it to transgender women.
Hello.
As long as it's going to care, who cares?
Hello. You are totally entitled to that. But I don't agree, and I think if somebody uses my talent from my community, then I should have a right to pay.
I have a question, Wolfgang. Do you pay the people that are in your documentaries? You sell DVDs.
Pardon?
The people that are featured in your documentaries, are they paid? Yes.
Some have been paid small amounts, but the money has not been enough money to actually pay people.
So but let's say tomorrow your documentary, somebody buys it and pays you $5 million for it. Are you going to give royalties to everyone that was in the video?
I have. By contract, I have to.
Okay. You're an honest person.
And,
I appreciate
let
that.
Let me explain why you're on that subject, because I can see why you want to use that. Let me tell you the way the contract is written, because the idea was to use the film as a financial empowerment project for the Ball community. And the proceeds, 50% stays with the operation with the company Art from the Heart, and 50% of the profit would be paid out to using a point system to everybody who's in the film. And the point system is broken down. If you have been interviewed, you would be getting 5 points. If you're just like a second or 2 seconds featured, you get 1 point. If you have like just walking without talking, you get 3 points. And a point, if the film had made $1 million, then half would go to the Ball community, which would have been $500,000, and a point would have been like $3,000 or so. And this is all part of the way I build infrastructure for any community, is to use these kind of projects as an empowerment tool. Should the film make money, then everybody is part of the cut.
That's admirable of you. That's very admirable. I think that's wonderful.
And that's why I exist. I mean, I have a long history of doing that, and my second film with the flagging is built the same way. Unfortunately, we won a lot of awards and recognition, but financially the film was not distributed like Paris is Burning through a corporation. Because if you do that, you A, you lose the rights of the film, and B, you lose control over the film, and C, today with the change of the industry, it's not really necessary to go through a major distributor, because the corporation owns Paris is Burning, and what that's not to our interest. They're not benefiting us if we produce something and sell it to a corporation, and we get a penny on the dollar. This is what happens when you operate like this. No, we still own the film, and should someday somebody really makes an offer or actually it'll sell or re-edit it and re-broadcast or whatever, we still own the rights and we still benefit should the film make money. Unfortunately, the money hasn't come in, but we still own everything, and I don't think the film will ever go out of style.
Okay. Have you approached GMHC? Have you approached GMHC at all into maybe doing anything in regards to that, and were you maybe rejected?
GMHC
or
is interested in the film because the people tell the truth about GMHC, that they basically suck. And when you have that kind of content in the film, I mean, I was invited when How Do I Look was a work in progress, and I didn't have that content in the film. They had me speak in classes. They used it for education and outreach for their volunteers and employees. They did all that with How Do I Look. But because of GMHC, I'm not going to leave out an important element. When people in the community, like the Explavas and Marcel Christian, who is a historian, a ballroom historian, if they tell me, Wolfgang, we showed up at GMHC, we did everything, and then they just stopped and disrespected us, And, you know, and that's an important element the community felt about GMHC, and I put that in because I felt it was an important piece of history the community experienced, and that should be shared. And as soon as I put that in the film, I was harassed and blacklisted by GMHC. Luna is an assistant director at How Do I Look. He shows How Do I Look all the time to his kids, but he mentions not one time How Do I Look at the ball.
Okay, let me... Okay, wait a minute. You say he doesn't... Say, what doesn't he do?
At the latex ball, he never talks about How Do I Look, only Paris is Burning.
Okay, and...
And that's,
did you ask
you know,
him
that's
why?
That's another issue. Because the film has that content in it, he's not allowed to talk about GMHC, which creates another problem, because now GMHC is dividing us as a community because they won't allow Luna to talk about it, nor do they allow Luna to show How Do I Look at GMHC or them showing any type of support because of that content. So what that does is it divides us as a community.
Oh, wow.
It's another bad thing, because if the Latex Project wouldn't exist, it wouldn't divide us as a community like that.
Okay. Wow. My next question is that have you asked to see how many their numbers, as in how many people they've tested, how many people they've linked to care, into getting caseworkers?
I asked them how many people they tested at the last latex ball. They told me it's confidential information. And this is an organization. We let them come into our community, open arms.
Is this a public organization or a private sector?
Want, and then asking me a question, you know, how many people did you test? And they basically tell us in our face, it's not in your goddamn business. You know, that's an insult.
Well,
and let me tell you another thing what they did. They invited Jenny Livingston and Paris is Burning. They invited her to speak in 2011 on behalf of Paris Dupree because he passed away that year. Paris Dupree was not in How Do I Look because of Paris is Burning. Jenny Livingston ripped him off from the title Paris is Burning, which was the theme of his balls.
Right.
Paris Dupree hated Jenny Livingston, the film. He was completely ripped off and told me, Wolfgang, don't take it personally. I don't do any interviews. I don't do any appearances, nothing, because of Jenny Livingston and Paris is Burning. So, now if, and Kevin, I mean, we almost fell off the chair when we brought up the subject. We said, and we said, how did that happen that she spoke at your ball? They said, oh, they contacted us and she wanted to speak on behalf of Paris Dupree. And Kevin's reply was, if Paris knew she was talking on his behalf, he would turn in his grave. What a disgrace. Jenny Livingston was never invited back by the ball community. Now, who is GMHC to break a 20-year-old code by the ballroom community, a policy? Who are they to invite her to this function, let her speak on behalf of Paris Dupree if he knew would turn in his grave? Now, how disrespectful is this?
Wow.
And this is just another example. I mean, how many examples do I have to give you? I have been harassed at the GMHC ball, and my crew.
Why were you harassed as you were trying to take?
Should we support people like that who disrespect us in like this? I mean, I understand they're doing good things, and they should be doing their outreach and their education, but get your hands out of the balls. They're not doing leather events. The whole leather community is dead in New York City. Where are they? Why aren't they giving leather balls? The flagging community almost completely wiped out in New York City. Why aren't they doing flagging parties? Because these communities, if they would walk into their community pulling that kind of stunt, they would tell them, get the fuck out.
Wolfgang, I have a couple of questions, and we have to change the topic up a little bit. We have to go into our next segment.
Sure.
But I do have a couple of questions really quickly before I let you go. Someone is asking, how much does the lady who runs GMHC make? How much does the lady who runs GMHC, how much
money
does
she make? Her name is Dr. Marjorie Hill. She makes $250,000 annually. And you can get that information and you go to GMHC website and you can look at their tax returns, because they have to publish tax returns, and you can see she makes $250,000.
Okay.
And on a positive note, you know, because I don't want to come across where I'm only like complaining about GMHC, but the positive is also I'm working on art and education programs. I'm also working on putting a community center for the bald community, and we also started the Kevin Omni funeral fund, because it was for years Kevin Omni telling me about the kids passing away, they don't have a dollar in their pocket, and you know, these AIDS organizations have money and organizations have money for all this other stuff, but they don't have a dime for a funeral. So it was his wish to start some kind of funeral fund, and we are also
introducing
that.
No disrespect to you or to Kevin Omni, but I kind of think, and a lot of people feel as though that the funeral fund, maybe if certain things didn't happen, and some people are taking that as a joke now. So maybe they need to restructure that or redo something that.
Well,
it has
to prove itself. I mean, you can talk. Let me tell you something. If you want to talk like this, if I was to go by that, there would be no. How do I look? Because you can't about anybody.
I just think that particular subject right there, that whole funeral fund, I mean, whether it had great intentions or not.
Let it prove itself.
No. The way it transpired, I'm just saying the way it's been going as of lately.
I understand.
Right.
I'm sorry, Wolfgang. How can you understand when you're not giving Enrique a chance to get out what he's trying to say to you before
you respond?
You should
be cutting him off.
But he made his point.
No,
okay,
the point is,
go ahead.
The point that I was trying to make is the whole funeral fund has come across as jokes, because statuses have been deemed for those who donated to the fund. Now, if you were just donating to the fund, if you would get a congratulatory, then it'd be one thing. But to give a status that some people said is deserving or people said is not deserving, it makes it a mockery or a joke to a lot of people. So I think that if that's the case for that funeral fund, if it was presented to the community in a better way, then it would have been accepted that way. But then it was presented as a joke, and so everybody's taking it as a joke. So if that is a serious intent, because I thought it was a kiki personally. So if that's going to be it, then y'all need to restructure that idea or represent it to the community.
Well,
because as of now,
we're going to introduce that, and we already have $600 in the raise,
and we also have two new icons now. So that being said, that's what's getting a lot of people.
That's why I said we're working on introducing that this year. We already did our market research. We did like a little feeling out and kind of stuff, but we still have to put a whole website together about it, and people can submit, you know, some kind of submission form. But, you know, one step at a time. But it's something that's really comes from Kevin's heart, and I think it's a good idea, because every time somebody passed away, there was some kind of money issue or this or that. And even if it's $100, you know, give it to the family, that helps them pay some bills. That was kind of how this idea was born. If we could at least give them maybe $100 to pay for something. And that's, you know, how we want to start it out. And we already have $600, so
yeah.
It's okay.
Can I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to wrap, we're gonna wrap this up a little bit.
I mean, maybe I get invited back.
Okay. Well, okay, my question
I have Kevin come with you, too, by the way. If you come back, I have Kevin Ami on as well.
My question is that you brought up the salary of the executive director at GMHC. You said that she's a doctor, so I'm going to assume in her profession she either has a MD or some type of educational doctorate, which she's worked in this, and she more than likely has an MBA in finance as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that's an unfair compensation for her for leading such a large organization and watching over at least a $6 million budget?
She makes more than the president.
I wish she could make
a lot of corporations make more than the president.
I want her to make $1 million. Yeah, but if we pay her $250,000 a year, then she has to do what's best for me, not for anybody else or something else. What's best for the community? I want them to make all $1 million, but if you pull that kind of stuff, what did I give you examples for, if you pull these kind of policies in place and you want $250,000, then I have to question it.
Well,
I think they all make $1 million.
Well, I think what happens is that she can't do what's best for you. She has to do what's best for the agency and the people and affecting the most people.
When I said me, I meant community. I represent
community. Well, right. I mean, in their policy, the executive, the board of directors, those programming directors, all those people, the advisory boards, they have to make tough decisions. It's almost like being a senator or a congressman.
Yeah,
you may have a personal opinion, and you may think one thing is best for you or your family or your community, but what's really going to be best for the country? And sometimes you have to raise those tough questions. I don't think $250,000 is a lot of money for her. If it's that, she could probably go be a medical doctor and probably make way more money than that. So she's not doing it for the money. I'm sure of that. Along with that, Jasmine, the president of the United States makes $400,000 a year. So, and they're probably already rich when they're taking office.
I want you to make $1 million, but if you cannot deliver the job I'm expecting from you,
that's why the turnover rate at these organizations are so high. They set expectations that sometimes can't be reached, and these people are out of jobs really quick. However,
I don't think
bringing up $250,000, that sounds like a lot of money, but with her type of education and experience, $200,000 isn't a lot of money, especially in New York City.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point was not how much. The point is, if I told you I want her to make $1 million, but if she gets paid by the government, by the people, then she needs to have policies in place that are for the people. And if you think that policy with the Paris is burning thing, breaking policies by the boy community, invite somebody who was for 20 years not invited back. If you think this is all great policy, then, you know, go ahead. I mean, send her a thank you note for doing a good job, but I am not standing for that. That's not what I represent, and I have the right to speak up.
If you
like those policies, then go ahead. Send them your money.
Okay. All right. Well, Wolfgang, I want to say thank you.
Please invite me back, Jasmine, anytime.
Okay, Wolfgang, thank you so much.
Thank
you. Marcus, you're key.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Everybody's there.
Jesus.
Hello.
You know what? I'm going to let y'all know right now, I'm smoking a blunt.
Shit.
So I enjoy it now.
Wow. So how did everybody feel about what he said?
We really appreciated what came. I really appreciated the information.
Lord,
that
shut
came.
The fuck up.
Oh my God, you so abusive. You gotta take that spironolactone, girl. That's too good.
Oh shit!
Are you talking? You want? Let's not do that tonight, sis. Okay?
Okay. So how do you guys feel about what was just said, though?
This is my thing. This is what I was trying to get to. Okay, what was the purpose of it? Was it that GMHC is misappropriating funds, and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing with the money? Was that
I think that's the point in that they were praising Paris's burning, because he kind of dwells on that a while, too.
Yeah, that's what I didn't really understand. My thing is, you have kids that don't like to take advantage of the things that's already available to them. What needs to happen is stop giving everybody money. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there are many programs I've just started. Well, tomorrow I actually go take my entrance exam because I will start working with this program in February, where they offer housing. People, you know, they educate you on how to deal with people that's living with HIV and AIDS. This is the only program in the city of New York that even offer that guarantees you a job once you complete the program. A lot of places don't want to even be bothered with it. They just want the money. So what we need to realize is that people don't even they don't want to take advantage of some of the things that's already available. People want to get, like Marcus brought up about hostel. You have bitches that want to get a hostel apartment that want to escort all day and they don't want to do shit.
True indeed.
So, I mean, like, they need to learn how to take advantage of what's already available before we even start worrying about whatever the else fuck that's being misappropriated. The funds that's there.
Go ahead, Alexis. Well, Alexis, I wanted him to say, he's not insinuating they're misappropriating funds. He's saying he thinks their monies could be used in a better manner. Because, I mean, he hasn't accused them of spending money. You know, they have the right. They have to spend the government money the way the government tells them to spend it, or when they do the audits, they get in trouble. But the money that they're taking in, let's say they have a POCC, latex ball, and they spend $50,000 on the ball and everything it takes to put on the ball. Well, let's say 800 people come at $20 a person. How much money is that? Whatever that is, right? So $16,000. That $16,000, they take that money instead of putting it in the ballroom community. They put back whatever they want to put back towards their general fund, and they use it for at-risk kids who run away from home, and they put them in a shelter or something. They put that money towards a shelter. He's saying that he doesn't think that money should go towards that. It should go back to the ballroom community. But
this is the thing.
It was taken at the ballroom community.
Okay,
but the ballroom community got what they paid for.
But that's all the kids are concerned about. When is the next fucking ball? They don't give a fuck about what GMAC does with that money after they get it. They want to know when is going to be the next POCC ball.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I want people to realize that GMHC, POCC, DIA, they're not just ballroom organizations. These are organizations that are out there for the community for HIV. We happen to be a very large community.
What they also need to realize is that the ballroom is not organized like that for us to say, oh, this is going into the account to help the ballroom. Bitch, no! It's every man for themselves in this shit.
Well,
I mean, what are they supposed to do? Put it in an account? Oh, well, if anybody needs this money is here. Bitch, please. When you go back and look for that money, it's gone. Fuck out of here.
Up on somebody knows.
Hello?
Or on somebody's feet.
Not in the feet.
Or somebody here.
But let's speak on a serious note.
I was serious.
It's right?
Do you think it's right?
I think that I agree with Marcus, and like I was listening to the whole thing up until he said something, and after that I just couldn't get into anything else but the fact that we have to realize that we as a community, this is going on with us. And like, these programs, they're great. They're great to have around. They're great to be funded. But we have to take a responsibility of having it. We have to take a responsibility to keep well, you know what I mean? Or the last, you know, or take every last pill until the last drop or whatever. Like, this is serious. So if you're going to worry about that, if you're so focused on what everybody else is not doing to be well, then how are you going to focus on what it takes to be well?
Right. This is my point. So what we're saying is, if the government sends the House of Ebony money to draw function, Jasmine, thank you. If the House of, if the government,
enough of y'all sitting here trying to attack me every 5 minutes now. That's enough.
No, girl, you was wearing the keys out. If the government sends the House of Ebony money, maybe I'm understanding it wrong. If the government sends the House of Ebony money to have a function, the problem is that the money that they're using from the government to have the ball, they want it to Do you used to have another ball?
Right. That's what someone is having a problem with, not what everybody's having a problem with.
Right.
Well, okay, and they're not giving them the money.
Okay. Let's bring on the icon, Tony Milan. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Ma.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I got to start someplace. So let me try to start this at the beginning. Okay, I remember when Latex Ball Game allowed the ballroom community to come in and be on their board, well, assist their board with getting the ball. This was about 6-7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
During that time is when I got to find out the intricacies of how it worked. They didn't want to tell us the budget, which understandably, you know what I'm saying, because sometimes you want to keep certain things a secret. Now, I know what the budget was last year because I went through another organization, but they will give organization to other organization what the budgets are. We'll get to that later. What I'm coming back to is that GMAC has always been the way it is. You have GMAC and you have the Latex Project. The Latex Project is the urban sector of GMAC. So
okay.
if you want to be really funky about it, or you want to be blunt about it, or you want to be whatever colorful word you want to use about it, GMHC is the white aspect of it, and
right.
The Latex Project is the black and Spanish aspect of it. The
okay.
problem is that white girls don't do balls, so you can't expect to hold them in the same regard in terms of trying to find a way to pull. In all fairness to them, and I do have negative things to say, but I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna stick on the positive things. White girls don't do balls. That's just not what they do. And you can't, GMAC can't give a rave. So therefore,
right.
they have to find a way to bring, to try to best to be equal, but bring everybody together. White girls have their way of doing it. They find their way. The black experienced girls tend to be the ones who want to have balls. So that's the way they have to try to get these numbers in order to get their funding. What is the problem with that? Then I see that Alexa said, well, the girls don't need to do this, don't need to do that, and this is... Girl, the job you're getting ready to get is government funded. So that doesn't make no sense what you just said. Let me finish. And then therefore you can bust right on through. But I'm getting from I'm understanding what you're saying. Okay. Maybe you meant to say it a different way, but it's not how you're expressing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of the matter is that all these agencies, even down to welfare, even down to anything that gives anything to somebody else in terms of help. That is government or state-funded money. If people don't come in, you have no job. Okay, that's the bottom line to it. So there's a way that you present everything. Now, clearly we can tell from the way Wolfgang has all the answers for everything, it's a little bit personal here. Something's
right.
a little bit personal there, and that's fine. But understand, be honest about what's personal and be honest about what's the truth. You can't come out and bash an organization like that and don't expect them to retaliate. You know what I'm saying? So... And on this show, you need to be careful about allowing certain people to make certain kind of statements. That's why I say I will leave my negative to myself. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not fair. And I don't know if that and you're on an LLC or what is going on here. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, I'm trying to be as fair as possible. But a lot of times, we have to sit back and kind of think, yes, a lot of times that people don't want to be, don't want to get tested. But remember, that is because it's our fault. Do we go around and embrace people, or do we go around and as soon as they say something fierce to us, the first thing we say, oh, bitch, you sick. Who the fuck want to be bothered with punks like that? I've had many a several argument. Can't no bitch ever say I said that about them. And I've been out a long time. But the girls behind me, and the girls, some of the girls with me, and some of the girls after me, they do that shit. Or I be looking at shit on Facebook like, girl, y'all kidding me? Because last I checked, how do you say it? The House in Virginia don't have no motherfucking friends. She'll get any bitch at any time. So that's what I have to understand. We have to stick together as a people, not as a race, not as a ballroom community, as a people, as a gay community. If you don't stick together as a community, you don't make people feel comfortable. You don't make people feel comfortable. They don't go get themselves checked out. They don't go get themselves checked out. They be sick. They get sick. What they do, die. Come on now, you can't blame this on all a bunch of other people. No, it's all of us working together. I hate queens running around pointing a finger. When you point a finger, three fingers point back at you.
Come
on, wake up.
Titi.
Wake the fuck up.
What I was saying is that the kids don't take advantage of the programs that is already available to them. That's what I was saying.
But they don't know about the programs. Who tells them? You told me about it. I called on you to give me a, I called on you and gave you information about someone I know that I felt needed help.
Right.
You
right.
gave me the information in 5 minutes, but I didn't even know you knew the information. Some just said, you know what, let me just ask you. And you was able to, and I appreciate you for that. Now, did the person take advantage of it? No. I called them. I told them I had it. That's all I can do. They ain't call me back to tell them that they needed the information. They're like, honey, I'm not tracking down no old ass bitch
you,
to tell them nothing.
That's what I'm saying. You have shared with them that you have the information, but they don't want to take advantage of it. That's what I'm saying. We weren't here worrying about money from a bar, but there are other programs that's already out here available for the kids to take advantage of, and they refuse to.
And another thing, that $6 million, first of all, I don't know who runs the program, so maybe I can be corrected here, but that was from the AIDS Walk. Now, I don't know if GMAC is just a part of it, but I don't think they're in charge of it. Two different things. That $6-point-something million was the AIDS Walk. It was not GMHC got $6 million. First of all, it's a nonprofit organization. They cannot make a profit. But a lot of them do anyway because what they do is they invest the money into something else.
Right.
That said, you can go online because if it's a nonprofit, you can go online and see their books. But a lot of us don't like math. Well, a lot of y'all don't like math and science, so therefore you don't know how to read an annual report, even one that's a nonprofit annual report. I do. But you can get these. You can get these forms online. They're very easy. Once they put them in, they'll become public records, and you can see exactly what these people are doing. So we can stop all that. Oh, it's misappropriation of funds. Yeah, maybe, but that's not your job to find that. That's the job of whoever is their auditing firm to find that. That's their point. And doctor, or they have a degree in finance or a degree in accounting. That's not making them a doctor. I don't know. We need to study that. I did hear the lady think she was a doctor, but being a doctor doesn't make you able to run an organization when it's dealing with a whole lot of money. That's why you have a CFO. You have to have a CFO in any company you have. So that's just that. But as far as information, none of us are doing that. I mean, everybody has information. I don't understand why there's no Facebook sites. Since everybody cares so much. Why there's no Facebook site of information? Even if it's repeated and it's redundant, it doesn't matter. It's there. Why can't the girls have a Facebook site where, Alexis, you clearly have excellent information, especially with the Fem Queens. I know another Fem Queen that has excellent information with the Fem Queens. I'm sure we got some Butch Queens that can give some excellent information. Why nobody ain't never think to do that with all this social media? I'm sorry. These is older, younger, and middle-aged girls. Why y'all haven't come together?
Because I don't think a lot of people trust. I think the trust issue is a big thing, Tony.
Yeah, I think that's one. But you know what?
Trust is a big thing.
Enrique, a lot of people say that, but I have people that hit me up all the time to ask me all kinds of questions. Anybody that needs to know anything, don't mind. I don't mind people hitting me up, and I will share what I know. What I have access to, I will send you to the proper resources. But what I was going to do is once I got fully into the program, I was going to do that. My original thing is when I came home from jail was to start my own program. But I know it was a lot of other things that I needed to be educated on before I can do that. So with that being said, dealing with 8 Atlanta in Atlanta is just like dealing with a brick wall. It's hard as hell to get past it. So when I talked to a few people in New York, they told me, oh, we have a program here. We guarantee your job or whatever. So I came up here. So now once I get involved and get my foot completely in the door, then yes, I will do that. I don't mind helping people.
Right. I'm not saying that you don't, because clearly I made that clear that she was able to help me.
Right.
What I'm saying is that we okay, coulda, shoulda, woulda, don't nobody want to hear that.
Right.
My question is, why is there no Facebook page made where anybody who has proper information can put something down there at all times, any time of the night, when it comes
okay,
to them, whatever.
What okay. okay.
That's what I'm saying. Then so people don't have to maybe call you. There are still people out there who are embarrassed. Everyone
right.
has not reached our stage where we don't give a fuck what you
right.
have to say. And we don't give whatever we have to do, but whatever. Whatever we want to do, however we want to do it, we can do it. There's some people who are still embarrassed, so they want to be able to do it.
Incognito
and privately,
right.
and that's fine. That should be okay as long as some kind of leader or pseudo leader of the community that you at least try. You know what I'm saying? I have people who come to me and they confide in me, and I will go out there and do the work. Well, man, I don't give a fuck what you think about me or what you may think why I'm asking this question. I don't give a fuck. But if I can
right.
save a life, that's all that matters.
Right.
That's what should matter to all of us. And all this trying to find a way to point a finger while girls want apartments, they can esquire it. That's none of your fucking business.
You're right.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Right.
That's nobody's business. The point is that you did your good deed.
Right.
Was to help them stay healthy and have a roof over their head. What they do with it and how they
it's
lose
not,
it is
right.
their business.
You're right.
It's none
exactly.
of your business.
I mean, think a lot of people
carry
moves
like that makes people steer away from you because they think you're just a catty human being. See, in life, you have to choose which side you're going to choose. Are you just going to be just straight down the middle, or are you going to choose being catty, or are you going to choose being helpful? It's your choice. It's just your choice. And that's why I had to press one. I couldn't press one with Wolfgang doing the personal thing. I just couldn't do it. I can't get into somebody's personal vendetta against another group of people.
It did sound personal. It did sound personal, but
right. Did it, Tony? Did it come off to you that maybe he asked them for money and they denied him, and then now it's all this?
I think it was more a funding
argument.
Thing because they kept making. But maybe he asked them for funding.
I just know that you were very much attacking him, Marcus, and I was just like,
yeah,
you're not
you
gonna be able to get
attacking.
What you want if you keep attacking. Sometimes you gotta let a person walk themselves off the cliff. You can't be behind them running trying to push them, child. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
I was
you
trying to listen to him, but it came off so. I wanted to hear. I guess I thought at one point he started off on a good point, like, okay, well, you feel as though they're not doing enough. But I mean, at the end of the day, these organizations are not just ballroom. You know, they have a massive number of people to meet, and they have different ways they want to do it. And some people just are not into ballroom as much as we enjoy ballroom. Some people, especially in New York City, just don't know what a ball is. They're never going to come to a ball. They're never going to accept it. So they have like a greater purpose. So with
right.
that said, I just don't understand why it was like an attack on these people when I appreciate what I look at what they put into the latex ball, and I look at the number of people that come. I don't think they make money per se. Now maybe they do. Maybe they do
well,
take in the money. But at the end of the day, it's not like going to
yeah,
it's not
yeah,
like somebody getting a check and putting it in their pocket.
Now they do because now they're charging you. I don't remember that ever being. Like, I'm not knocking it because I don't know what the government is doing this time with this ridiculously Republican Congress. You know, but I do know that New York has a lot of resources for various different reasoning. So like I
right.
said, you have to be very, very careful. And you can't sit and say that GMAC is not doing anything because I know that their name is affiliated with a whole lot of stuff. So that's why I say that it is a time and place to say your negative. You know, try to look for the positive first. I do believe your
yeah.
questions were great. It's just that you wouldn't let him answer one before you popped another one. I was like, girl, is he on trial? You know what I'm saying? It was just getting redundant. It just really was.
Let's get to a couple of callers really quickly so we can go into the next topic because it's 1 o'clock. It's about to be 1 a.m. The first caller we have is 201-892. You're on the air. 201-892. You're on the air.
Good night.
724-778.
You're on
the air. Private call. I don't do private callers, but I'm gonna just do this one really quickly. Private caller, you're on the air.
You know I usually call and bullshit or whatever. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Well, I'm being very serious tonight. I enjoyed what Wolfgang brought to the table. And to me, it was very evident those who up on the panel who's receiving a paycheck from these healthcare industries. Y'all act like white supremacists still don't exist. And what these what the pharmaceutical industry is doing to us as a community, it's a bigger picture than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I had to say, and you can put me back on mute.
Okay.
Thank you, Grandma.
Good night,
Mama. All right. Tony, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. And Naeem, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm back on now.
Marcus?
I'm here.
Enrique?
I'm here.
Alexis?
Yes, I'm here.
Jason?
Yeah, I'm back. I was in La La Land, but I'm back now.
Why were you in La La Land, Jason?
Because I was just lost. I'm trying to follow it all. I'm going to have to listen to the archives so that I can get a better understanding.
Vanna.
I think I'm still here.
And J-Rock. J-Rock.
Yes.
Okay, you there. All right, the next person we're going to bring on is the icon mother herself, Shay Shay Chanel. She's going to sit with us for a few minutes to talk about her. Well, Alexis, go ahead and take that over for me.
Okay. First of all, hold on, yeah. Okay. We have the icon Shay Shay Chanel, and those of you who may or may not be familiar with her, she has a business, one of our own has their own business in Atlanta, Georgia, called Diamond Faces, and I'm going to let her talk about that a little more, and if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask. So, I mean, she may be able to help you guys. Ma?
Hey, hello, everybody. Thank you for having me on the show,
Shay. Hey, Shay Shay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you all, too. How y'all been?
Good. How you
good.
Been?
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Well, let me explain. Alexis gave you a little tutorial about my business. I started, I don't know for you all to know or not, I have a degree in aesthetics. And I met Alexis when I was in school, actually. I went to the number one accredited school in the state of Georgia, International School of Skin and Nail Care, and I graduated in 2007. Since then, I've did several local trade shows with makeup and everything, and in school I learned several things about the skin that I did not know as an African-American woman. So since time has passed, I've invested my money into a business. I purchased a microdermabrasion machine and several things. So I decided to step out on faith and started my business in September. And since September, I can honestly say that the ballroom community, first let me say this, the ballroom community has opened their hearts and arms and very supportive to me and my business. Not only, I guess, because of what I've contributed to the ballroom scene, but outside the ballroom scene, they have been fully supportive. And I want to say thank you all so much for the people that are listening or the people that have sent me messages or inbox. I want to thank everybody for inquiring about the business. So basically what I've done is afford the community an opportunity not only to educate them on the skin, but my trans sisters that are interested in, you know, treating themselves to a spa service such as microdermabrasion, body waxing, stuff like that. So I've pushed my business, and here I am. So everything has been going really, 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 really well. I think a lot of things that people don't know or miss about the skin, when they come to me, after they leave, they feel like they've been in class, so they learn a lot more. So it's not just about receiving a great service, but it's about getting educated on your skin and what's going on, because everybody has different skin. Now, what I do know, I'm going to say this, when the girls come to me, it's the girls. But when I tell y'all, the butch queens, they are into their face, totally, totally into their face. And I think it's nothing more sexier than a man that's into grooming himself. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, questions, anybody? I don't know, next week is MLK weekend here in Atlanta. And anybody that wants to come and get their face done with their hair, hit me up in inbox on Diamond Faces. You can go to my page on Facebook and like my page. Also, you can go on that page and see prices, services, or any kind of services you could possibly imagine that I offer. You can look up on that page and see pricing and everything. And actually, anybody that listens to the show, if you hit me up in the inbox and say that you listen to it, I give you $5 off of any service of your choice.
That's cute.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you guys have any questions for her?
Yeah, anything about any? Go for it. Any myths or anything about products?
You said that the butch queens are coming to you as well. Oh, you sounded surprised. But what products are they normally like? Could you give us a pinpoint of what fem queens or what the women usually want opposed to what the butch queens usually like? Well, what would you recommend for each gender?
Well, I'm going to say this. For African-American skin, or not African-American skin, any scan, I feel like people lack, well, I'm going to say this, a lot of people in the community believe in mint julep.
Mm-hmm.
I know that everybody on the phone has seen the guys walk around with the mint julep on. And mint julep is just a mask. That's something that you add to something. I think a lot of them have a misconception that, oh, if I put mint julep on, I'm going to be sitting. But if you're not cleaning the skin or exfoliating the skin, the mint julep isn't going to work. And it dries your skin out. So mint julep isn't really hot. But the girls, most of the time, they want fresh skin a lot of times. So I always suggest the microdermabrasion or the Kimwell. I have a service called the Diamond Peel, the signature on Diamond Peel, and that's a chemical peel followed by a microdermabrasion service. So a lot of times, those are the most popular ones, the microdermabrasion and the chemical peels. They love it. And every skin does not need a chemical peel. What happens a lot of times when they do call, they call me immediately going for the chemical peel.
Mom, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
I know it has been a myth that you can't, I thought you couldn't get both at the same time or in the same day or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What I've done is put together, it's all about the percentage of the chemical that you're using.
Uh-huh.
Whether it be a 10% chemical peel. Well, first, a chemical peel isn't a peel that you take. It's an acid. So you have several different kind of, you know, acids. You have glycolic, you have salicylic, you have TCA, and glycolic is more of a cosmetic peel, and I just lowered it down to 30%. So you won't peel as bad because I follow behind it with a microdermabrasion service. That makes sense? Because a lot of times what happens is they go and get chemical peels, and the peel might be a 20% or 30%, so they're going to peel moderately, you know, pretty heavy. It might be down for a day or two. But with my services, the only peel that I have that intense is a TCA, and you have to be prepped to get that, like hydroquinone for a week or two before you get it.
Okay.
But most of the people want a
we have a caller. There's, I don't know if this caller is calling and pertaining to you, but 504-701, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
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 I have a question. You said Butch Queens, about the Butch Queens getting facials and stuff. Why do some people find that to be not as masculine as a Butch Queen that don't give a damn about a facial and all that?
No, I think you misunderstood my statement. I was just saying, what do they use? Because I know a lot of Butch Queens, let me say gay men, because I kind of hate the Butch Queen. A lot of gay men. A lot of gay men do facials and stuff like that. So, like, I'm personally one that doesn't, but I would like to know what kind of products do they use? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you always seen, we all see on Facebook statuses, this mint julep thing. And you always hear people saying chemical peels. And my question was, how many chemical peels can you have before it doesn't do right or it kind of worsens your skin? Like I guess you said, Shay, that it's not really that healthy, or if you get too many, it's not that healthy, because every time you look at somebody's status, you see the same status, and they're always getting chemical pills, and I know that can't be good for the skin.
Right, because, like, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead finish what you're saying, and I'll finish.
Yeah, because after you get a chemical pill, don't you can't be in direct sunlight for, like, only 2 hours a day for, like, 30 days, and all this other crap comes along with the chemical pill, right?
What I'm saying is every peel, every chemical has a different dosage. You can do a 10%,
okay.
You can do a 20%, a 30%. So it all depends on what, number one, what chemical peel you're getting, because every chemical peel is different, you know? And
right.
It also depends on, we should wear sunscreen anyway. So any exfoliation that you do to the skin, you should protect it anyway. We all were taught, I know in my household, I thought that African Americans didn't have to wear sunscreen. That's a lie. We have to wear it every day. A lot of times what ends up happening, when you get black marks out of nowhere, you're like, where did that come from? That's damage to the skin that's been under the skin. You understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of times chemical, and in response to the question also with the chemicals, you have to condition the skin. It's all in the regimen. You can get them once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks. You know, until you get the results that you're looking for. Prime example, say a person is acneic. Let's use, you all use look at the Real Housewives of Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all look at that? Okay, y'all notice the Kenya Moore skin, she has bad skin, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, not to put her on blast, but what happens is on some scenes her skin looks really good and some scenes it looks really bad. So most likely she's on some kind of chemical peel. Most likely she's probably on salicylic acid. You can look it up. It's an anti-inflammatory chemical, and what that is for is acneic clients with oily skin. So what that does is calm the skin down, and then she could go and get a microderm maybe a week or two later, so it can look smooth and improve the texture and tone of the skin visibly. It makes sense. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah,
you're
quiet.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask
you
a question. So, I've seen, yeah, who is that? Naima?
Yeah.
Go ahead, were you about to say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it help, like, with the I've had chemical peels before, but I never had a microdermabrasion. But I wanted to know, does it, cause, like, the pores, like in your T-zone areas, does it help shrinking the pores, and does it help with like maybe the shadows or like or dark spots or something, or like acne scars?
Definitely. What you're basically doing is you're resurfacing the skin, the first layer, the epidermal layer, the top layer, you're resurfacing. And the thing is, a lot of people think that one, you go one time and it's going to be fixed. Of course, you know, everybody on the phone likes instant gratification. We want instant results. Now, when you get your first microdermabrasion, if you were to get one, your skin is going to look amazing. It's going to look bright. The fine lines will be gone. Everything will be even. However, in order to get the dark marks to go, you're going to have to do a session at 3 or 4 because the dark mark is layers of skin damage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just at the top layer. You got to go layer. So maybe you might do a microderm 1 week, and then 2 weeks later you might do a chemical peel. You understand? It's about a regimen and conditioning, like working out. They say you should work out 3 times a week.
When you say regimen, do you also sell products or recommend products or write a prescription for products for people that come in?
Well, actually, right now I'm with a company and I'm trying to, in process of getting my own product done through this company that I'm certified with. Also, I don't use products. When you come to me, I don't use the retail products of the store. Now, I can recommend a product of the store, but when you come to me for a service, I use professional products that you have to be licensed to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on, like I said, it depends on your skin type. I can tell you certain ones that I believe in. I believe in Aveeno. I like Neutrogena on some clients, but for oily skin or acneic skin, I always say Aveeno. Prime example, the reason why I say Aveeno is because it's made out of oatmeal. Oatmeal naturally soothes and calms the skin. Like, prime example, has anybody on the phone had chicken pox before?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the first thing they tell you when you go to the doctor, they're going to tell you to take oatmeal bath,
oatmeal
right?
Oatmeal bath, right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, because that keeps the skin calm. It makes sense?
Right.
Yeah.
So that means
I've heard that.
The same, right, it keeps the skin calm, and it naturally soothes the skin. So my main thing is you want to keep your skin calm at all times, so that's why I believe in Aveeno so much. And the moisturizer is a dual product. It has an SPF in it of 30, which is excellent for us. A lot of us don't use sunscreen because we're like, oh, well, I don't need it, but we really do. Whether we exfoliate or get a chemical peel or not, we need it anyway. Because it damages the skin.
Well, I find, and I'm going to keep quiet because I know people say I'm a little long with it. But I find.
Yeah, you are long with it. We're going to go to a couple of callers.
Oh, shit.
410-302, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Shania thing so you can let Naima have her long winded monologue.
We're going to talk about the Shania thing.
Oh, no, I'm not
going to
try
me
on here. Okay, you know what? All right.
347-426, you're on the air.
Well, guys, Happy New Year. This is Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
Hey, Keisha.
First and foremost, I just want to say this. Shay Shay, you doing your thing, and I'm going to tell you something. Growing up, I always wanted to be a dermatologist. And let me tell you something. You better go ahead and do your thing. And what you're saying is 110% correct. What I will have to say, though, is
What do you recommend? Because I can tell some people, what happens if you can't afford? Because I'm going to tell you, chemical pills, that can be very costly. Sometimes people
right.
don't have the money. So what would you recommend
right.
to those who can't afford? Because, like you said, one session is not going to cut it. You got to go to three or four
right.
sessions. Now, I do know there are some things you can do in conjunction to getting those to also clean your skin and to get that healthy glow skin. If
right.
you don't mind, I can share that with the audience.
Thank you, Keisha. Well, first, I would say if you were in Atlanta, I would say come to Diamond Faces, because what I've done is also cut my prices half of what the spa is charging, because of the fact I want to have volume so customers can afford the opportunity to come to receive a great service. However,
oh,
now...
Wait, stop right there. So what are your prices for your microdermy chemical peel?
Well, the basic, let me say, the Diamond Express is a $35 basic micro. And that's for the people that come regularly, because you can get my microderm every week.
Right.
Then you have the blast and polish your diamond. That's $45, and that includes a wet mask. That includes steam and a 35-minute session. And then you have the signature diamond peel. That's a microdermabrasion and a chemical peel together, and that's $65. Now, however, these are introductory prices at the moment, but those are the basics right now. And if you go to any spa service, they're 2 times or 3 times more expensive than what I'm charging.
Okay.
And those prices are on your site and stuff, correct?
Yes. If you go to Diamond Faces page, you can actually go to, it's going to say book now. You can click on book now, and then it's going to say book in, and then you'll see the services that I offer and what comes with the service. It's called Diamond Faces Skincare Bar. And like
okay, and I'm sure somebody posted it in the official ballroom group. So if you guys want more information on it, please go to the ballroom group. We're going to go to 2 more callers really quickly. 410-302, you're on the air.
Yeah, I still want to talk about Sanaya.
I'm sorry. We'll come back to you. And private caller, Grandma, you're on the air.
Look at here, Granny ain't got time for all that. How somebody with bad skin gonna be giving skin advice? See, here we go with this white supremacy bullshit. We are
Grandma.
Sun people, and you get vitamin D from the sun. If you eat right and drink the right things and stop putting all that shit in your body, you won't need all that white folk shit. Our Granny ain't got time for that, and I ain't got time.
Okay, Grandma. Whatever. You
Grandma
people
needs a
are so
service.
Horrible.
Grandma
all right,
needs a
so Shay, any other questions I have, I'll just hit you up.
Right. Just hit me up on Facebook or any questions or whatever, or any something you want to know something.
We have an Atlanta caller, Shay. It might be for you. 404-396. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say I have had a treatment from Diamond Faces. This is Ava. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I looked young anyway. I looked 27, and I'm really 80, and now I look 14. But whoever that grandma person, I have a problem with people with fake identities that love to say whatever it is they want to say. See, me, I go in these chat rooms, I say whatever the fuck I want to say with my real name, and I don't care what anybody has to say about it, and I feel like bitches, punk hoes, who have to hide behind a name to say whatever they feel in their heart is a bitch.
We know how they are, Ava. We know how they are. It's a mess. Thank you so much, Ava. Thank you so much. And Shay,
thank you so much
as well. And
thank
you guys
for having
really
me.
Stop y'all shit. You know, y'all really, y'all carrying for 2000.
Good luck with your business,
really.
Mama. Thank you so much.
Y'all really,
thank
really carrying.
I really do,
but
like,
you know,
I like to see cool. things like that. I really do.
Well, if I come to Atlanta, I will be making my appointment, because I need
definitely.
To shine bright like a diamond.
Thank you. You know that already. I'm going to say this, Jasmine. You know what's funny? When people, I've been doing this stuff well since I was like 17, and I'm far from 17 now, and it's crazy how
you can put a lot of time into this, and no matter what you do, positive, or no matter how much time, or no matter how groundbreaking or whatever you contribute, someone's always going to have something negative to say, or someone's
going to Baby, you're speaking to the poster child of it. I've been doing it for so long, and how many
I
invested into this, and I'm still hated.
It doesn't make a difference to me what anybody says, because in the long run, check my resume, number one, and I'm doing something in and outside the scene. That's what it's about. I got in the scene and found something great that works for me, and a lot of times what happens is mediocre people never find themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all
definitely.
No big deal.
It's just,
keep doing what you're doing.
Really,
I think the show's
sad.
Great. I think it's a positive outlet. Huh?
I said it's just really sad. That's how people
are. Oh, all right.
Well,
Shay,
good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Good luck,
Shay.
You guys need to be proud of her.
You guys in Atlanta.
Hit her up for advice and whatever, because a lot of you people need to help.
Hello.
Y'all need
Definitely.
To stop y'all shit.
A lot of
stop
people,
it.
Y'all not like me, because me, I'm just a not being a cocoa butter type of girl. But, you know.
Oh, you know what?
I
want to ask. Hold on before we let her go. Ma, listen. What's that stuff that you use, Naima?
Obagi.
Actually, that's a great medical line. It's very expensive, costly, but it's an excellent line to use. I totally. Actually, I have some Obagi products. Actually, excellent.
Is it more of a bleacher and toner?
Well, you need it's not a bleacher, actually. It's a whole skincare line. You can get the
whole
cleanser.
Line. Fan.
Okay. Yeah, because I know Didi was using it, and she turned a lot of people on, and they have come a long way.
Yes, it's a medical grade line. You can walk in any doctor's office or dermatologist's office and see it on their shelves, actually.
Yeah, I thought Sharon got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good line.
All right.
All right, Shane Shane. Well, thank you so much, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right,
thank you.
I'm going to play a couple of commercials. I'll be right back.
The legendary House of Escada presents Mission Possible House Call, April 13th, 2013, in Dallas, Texas. Every single category is for cash. Grand prize, runway for $1,000. Mini grands include Butch Queen Legendary Performance for $500. Butch Queen Trilogy, Face, Body, and Realness for $500. Stem Queen Trilogy, Face, Body, and Realness for $500. Sex Siren for $500. Open to All Performance for $500. 60 Seconds of Fame Performance. Sing, dance, or lip sync for $250. This will be an early event, with doors opening at 6 p.m. and LSS starting promptly at 7 p.m., followed by Grand March. Admission to this event is $30. Tables are $100 if purchased by April 1st, $150 afterwards. Free admission given to everyone tested, and the house or family with the most members tested receives $1,000. Second place house or family receives $500, sponsored by Abounding Prosperity. The icons, Jack and Selvin Mizrahi, will be on the mic. The location, the luxurious Dallas Informant Building, located at 1950 North Demons Freeway in Dallas, Texas. Please contact Father Danny Escada for questions, for host hotel info, or for table purchases at 972-370-6473, or the overall Father Neiman Marcus Escada via Facebook at Marcus Fox. Also, visit the event page on Facebook, Escada Mission Possible House Ball, for detailed information.
the 5th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, February 23rd, 2013. Grand prize number one, open to all team space, the Dream Team, for $2,000. Grand prize number two, open to all performance, for $1,000. Legends versus $1,000 club winners, versus of the years, versus challengers. Mini grands include Drag's Realness for $500. Butch Queen's Pool Boy Realness for $500. Butch Queen European Runway for $500. And Female Figure Runway for $250. Again, that's Saturday, February 23rd, the 5th Annual Carolina Awards Ball. Location, Victory Lane Entertainment Venue, 2330 Tipton Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina. Doors open at 9 p.m. Award presentation begins at 10. Ball begins at 11 p.m. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $200. Seats, 10 with refreshments. Your commentator for the evening, the icon Jack Mizrahi. And your DJ, legendary Von Allure. There will be free and confidential HIV testing that will be offered by the Powerhouse Project. And don't forget the official Carolina Awards Ball Aftermath, that Sunday, February 24th.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the State of Emergency Show. Let me tell you something, y'all getting on my fucking nerves. All of y'all. Keep it up. And I'm going to start blocking people really quickly. J-Rock, you there?
Hello?
I have a question, J-Rock. Your video came out today. I didn't get a chance to see it, but people were saying that they actually heard you commentating. What kind of feedback are you getting now that the video is out?
From relevant people. But I did a very good job. And I also got the club promoters down here asking me to do Vogue Nights, and I also got a gig up in Oklahoma to get the scene started in Oklahoma City. So obviously it did something.
J-Rock, can I say something to you without you getting offended?
Go right ahead.
How long have you been involved in the scene?
Three and a half years.
Okay. I've only been in the scene about 5 years more than you. The scene comes with a lot of criticism. The scene comes with a lot of haters. The scene comes with a lot of people that will encourage you. Sometimes you have to learn to take it all, take the good and with the bad. So a lot of times when people say things to you, and I know you say you don't be going off, but it comes across as you get offended. So, I mean, sometimes maybe you just need to I don't want to say check yourself because I don't want to sound, you know what I'm saying?
I just feel like this, Alex. I hear what you're saying, but this is how I feel. I feel like this. It's 2013, right? Last year, I had just got on the radio show. Me, if anybody personally know me, they know I'm a very respectful young man. I respect everyone, whether you're younger than me, my age, or older than me. So I was trying to, you know, just get into the scene. I got on the radio. I started off on this show, State of Emergency, where we have real issues,
right.
No shade, no mess. Now, when I got on the Tea Party, I was sitting back and being quiet. But then when I get ready to play, this is how I play. And that's what I was trying to explain to everybody, but they can't take it. So I said, if you can't take it, it's kind of like if you can't take a read, don't throw a read. If you can't take a booking, don't throw a booking. And there's
right.
a difference between shade and mess. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, it's never nothing that's going to bother me because, as you can see, I start laughing sometimes. Sometimes I have to put myself on mute. And then the only thing that I can say is when they start getting real mad, I just keep saying, are you serious? My thing is I hear people cuss all the time. I hear y'all be like, no, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. But nobody says anything to them. But when I said, I guess I really cut people and hurt their feelings. And, oh, my God, J-Rock said a curse word. I'm a motherfucker. fucking United States sailor. That's what comes out of our mouth. Sailors. So that's all it is. It's not that I'm really mad, because at the end of the day, I know what I do. I have the ability to captivate an audience. And nobody has to tell me that, because I'm with the National Speakers Association. The number one fear in the world is public speaking. A lot of them hoes, if you put that microphone up to their mouth, they're not going to even speak. And that's just the honest to God truth. So, I mean, I'm never offended by none of them. It's just funny to me how everybody gets so shocked and so, oh, Lord, calm down, calm down. I'm like,
because it don't bother me, because I'll say what the fuck I don't have to say anyway. I just want, you know, just for, you know, for the people who probably did take offense, you know, because they're not used to seeing that side of you. Maybe that's what
it is.
People
are not
used to
seeing
that side.
They're just not used to seeing that side of you, but, you know,
right.
it'll break. Fauna, how are you doing tonight? Anything you wanted to touch upon before we go into the next topic?
No, not at all.
Mark?
No, I'm high.
I didn't forget about you, Mark. I know you were high with so much smoke in the way that I couldn't see your name. Jason?
Yes?
Anything you wanted to touch upon?
No, because J-Rock pretty much basically said it all. I'm just sitting back and I'm just chilling tonight. I'm more so into the rum tonight. Just
what
shocked.
Rum?
The blog rum. Just looking at just I don't even know what to say. They're just funny.
Why are you shocked?
I'm not shocked. It's just because it's funny because we say the same thing week after week. You don't like this person. You don't like that person. But you're hiding behind screens. You won't show your face. You won't do this. You won't do that. But you have so much to say. But yet you, and I'm glad you call in, and I'm glad you listen. But you're just so bitter. And why are you so bitter? For what? If you don't, if I didn't like someone, if I don't like something, I don't listen to it. I tune it out.
You talking to
maybe.
People, Jason?
I'm speaking in a group. Like last night they came for you. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Let's be real. It's nice that they live for us. It's nice that they live for you. It's nice that they live for Kelly. It's nice that they. But it's just like, I mean, before I was on the show, I was sitting at Rum and I would watch what they would say and some of the mean things they would say to Kelly. Some of the mean things they would say about Kelly's family. And these same people that are saying these mean things about Callie will probably be the same people that tap her on the shoulder out in the street and be scared to say hello to her. And
that's what I just said. Tipper said on that video with her and Stu and them, this ballroom scene will build you up to tear you down. That's all a part of ballroom.
Yep. It sure
it's all
is.
A part of it. And that's why I asked J-Rock how long has he been a part of the scene, because if people ask me why I'm a bitch, because that's why I'm this bitch.
All right. Naima, anything you wanted to touch upon?
No.
Girl, what are you going through over there?
What's wrong, Naima?
No, I don't have nothing to say. I'm
what is wrong with Naima?
You sound like you muffled again, sis.
You muffled, Naima.
Y'all say I be long-winded, but I really be making points, though, about stuff I be trying to say, but say it.
Enrique, you sound like you underwater.
No, you sound muffled, Enrique.
And I'm trying to muffle that, too?
Yes.
Wow.
Naima, were your feelings really hurt?
Actually, it was.
Wait a minute, what did I miss? What happened to you, Naima?
Right.
No, what happened?
Mama cut her off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Naima. Girl, don't take it personal. Dang, y'all need to really cut it out. Naima, now you know you are my favorite. Cut it out.
Hello?
Enrique.
Enrique.
Yeah.
Can you get out the bathtub?
Sound like you're drowning.
You done found a new place to hide out in your house because you can fit in that tub and you just don't want to get out of it.
Now he's back. And Rika,
are you in there with Popeye?
Yeah, is that better now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think that what I was saying was, I think when you guys cut off, because I think she had something to say, her feelings was really hurt, because you could tell in her voice, and she was kind of over it, that calm. But I'm really happy that, like, somebody else is doing something for the scene and outside the scene. So it was really good to hear, no matter what people think, at least somebody's making an effort. So I'm really proud of that, actually.
All right, let's get into the next couple of topics really quickly. And let's not forget, we're going to start a voting process in a shortly. You guys can think about it. But who was the BFF of the week? Do you guys remember what BFF means?
Bottom feeder.
Bottom feeder.
The bottom feeding freak of the week. Kelly, you're on the air.
Well, goddamn, it takes fucking forever for me to get on the fucking air.
Stop it, five.
You can be muted again, so cut it out.
Damn. Shit, I want to get a facial.
Ooh.
That's exactly why I took forever to pick you, put you on.
Honey. Hi, everybody. What y'all doing? What are y'all talking about?
Who's the BFF of the week?
What is that?
The bottom feeding freak.
Go look in the official ballroom.
We know it's not you.
Crazy funny shit in the chat room. Oh my fucking god, what about Sanaya? So now we're going to start with you, crazy funny kid. What do you want to talk about as far as Sanaya goes?
I want to hear from Crazy Funny Kid. Okay, Jazz, I had a phone call today from Emma Frost, and she said she was going to make another video because the girl said that she was boring, and she just had a lot to say. So you guys might need to watch out for tonight. It's got the juice. There should be another video coming out very soon.
Yeah, I heard that. All right, so she says Sanaya is telling people how to behave. It's not right. Who is she? ? What do you guys feel about that? What do you guys feel about the comments that was made from the video? And basically, what is your opinion on all of that? A lot of people called in yesterday and on Monday and wanted to talk about it. So what do you guys feel about that in general? I'm going to start with you, J-Rock, and work my way down. What is your opinion on the videos? Have you seen the video?
I have not seen the video.
Okay, you haven't seen it at all. Vonna?
Huh? My opinion on the video. Right? My opinion on the video is that it is Sanaya's opinion, so she's a grown woman. She's entitled to say what she wants to, now whether you agree with it or not, it's purely up to you, but she can say what the fuck she wants to because she's grown.
Okay, now based on just not, we're not really talking about what she's saying about it, but what do you guys feel about some of the things that she said? Like, how do you feel about gay men kissing in front of children?
Oh, can I say this?
Or in public, in general?
In front of children and in public, to me, are two different things. I definitely don't agree with pushing your sexuality in front of children, but in public, I definitely don't believe that you have to hide who you are to please the mass group of people. But then again, it's just, to me, it's your personal perception and what you feel comfortable with doing and the boundaries of your own self. That's my personal opinion.
Okay, basically, if you are in public, let's say two gay men are at the airport and they're waiting to board the planes and they're cuddled up and kissing, there's still different people that are right there. How do you guys feel about that?
It's your business, because guess what? You're not going to tell that man and that woman they can't kiss there.
Okay.
You know what, Jazz? We had this problem last year when they had released the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, like when
before they could pass it, we all had to go through training, and we all had to sit there. And I thought that the world had kind of evolved and everything, so I was, like, just sitting back, and we was in a big auditorium. And when I tell you, they had three levels of training, and each level of training was, like, 2 to 3 hours each. When I tell you, people are very ignorant. Like they said, for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, when they said, this is gone now, so this means that gay people can do exactly what straight people can do. And then I'm thinking, everybody's like, okay. Then you got these questions like, well, what if my son is outside in military housing and he's playing with the ball and then a gay man, you know, has his boyfriend on base and they're kissing. Yo, we can just let that happen? And I'm just looking like, what the fuck does it matter? That's just wrong, and you're doing it in front of the kids. Anything that if the straight couple can kiss in public, the gay can kiss in public. If the straight people can hold hands, the gay can hold hands on base because it's no longer don't ask, don't tell. But with that being said, it just shocked me how people, I feel like this, you raise your own kids. Can't nobody tell you what to raise with your kids. If your kids say, Daddy, what's that? And if you want to tell them it's wrong, that's you and your child. That's wrong. Don't worry about that. That's you and your child. So don't just, in other words, stay out of other people's business. If another man is kissing another man, as long as he's not sliding him down and indecent with it, then what does it matter?
Okay. Jason, what's your opinion on it really quickly?
My opinion is I feel this way. I don't particularly agree with seeing heterosexual couples kissing in public. I actually really don't believe in public displays of affection at all. I believe certain things should just be left in the house and should be done in the house. If I had a child and my child was to see two men kissing, a woman and a man kissing, or two women kissing, I would explain to my child when my child was at that age that he or she could understand what's being done, that this is how people show love, regardless. Love is love. Now, I don't want to see I don't think that two men, two women, a man and a woman should be tonguing each other down in public, but if I'm kissing my husband or my wife goodbye, I don't have a problem. I don't see a problem with that. But passionate kissing, a kiss on the cheek, holding hands, walking down the street
right.
is a normal, everyday affection. So you mean to tell me that if I was a straight man and I wanted to hold my son's hand as we walk down the street or we walk through a park or something, that's wrong? That's the problem that I had when I went to private school. And they told my mother that I had the devil possessed. I was possessed with the devil when the priest tried to say that men shouldn't show love to each other. But Jesus Christ walked with 12 men. And he loved 12 men.
Okay. Now, Ema, what is your opinion on it?
I don't have no comment on this. I'm remain quiet and just listen.
Enrique?
I don't have a problem with that at all, actually. I kind of, I think that whatever shows signs of affection that people see, it shows love, no matter if it's a man, a man, or a woman. There's a lot of lesbian couples that raise children, and there's a lot of gay men, there's a lot of gay people, period, that raise kids. And the statistics show that their kids don't always turn out gay. And if it is turning out gay, they were meant to be. So I don't find a problem with it because I do it all the time. And then, like, if my nieces and nephews around, or, like, when I was in an 8-year relationship when they was around, I would still hold his hand or I would give him a kiss and stuff like that. They questioned it, like, once or twice, but then they paid and then went on and played football, basketball, whatever they had, because I'm not going to hide who I am, period. And if I'm hiding who I am, that sends a wrong signal out to them that it's wrong. I'm not letting you know. I'm not telling you that what I'm doing is wrong because I feel it's right. So I'm going to do the right thing. So that's my thing. If I'm hiding it, then I'm saying it's wrong. That's how I feel about it.
Alexis?
What? this call is going to go digital. I don't have a problem with it. This is my thing. I don't see why the hell I got too high who I am.
Exactly.
You can't teach your child how to love. The Bible doesn't say love man, and he say love one another. Everybody, you love everybody equally. So because, I mean, and people are entitled to have their own wishes, whatever they want to do, but you're not going to stop me from whatever the fuck I want to do.
Kelly, did you have anything to say about this topic?
Here we go.
Fat bitches shouldn't be kissing other fucking fat boys outside.
Oh my god.
Well, bitch, you know I'm not.
All right, let's go to the callers that was asking earlier. 410-302, now we're on the topic. You're on the air.
Great, thank you so much. First of all, I wanted to say thanks for having a good show tonight, Jasmine. Wolfgang Busch was a great interview. I was one of the people that commented on the video when it was posted on YouTube, and I was initially very angry about what Sanaya had said, but I realized that it's important that she said something like this because it made, it created discussions for people. It, you know, it was a moment for people to talk about this issue, which I think is larger than just personal opinion about whether or not you condone public displays of affection. I mean, I side with the people, the cast that's saying that there's nothing wrong with anyone displaying public display of affection, even if that's not my own personal liking. But I wanted to just focus on what Sanaya said in the video, even though she could come on or do her own video and explain further what she meant. But I thought it was interesting how she focused on this idea that a child seeing two gay men kissing would confuse them. And I interpreted that to mean that it would influence them in becoming gay, which assumes that they weren't already. But, you know, I think it is up to the parent to explain that it's not... It really has nothing to do with sex. You know, this is about sexual orientation, I realize, but, you know, seeing... any grown adults kissing in public is not really it's not a sexual act, and so I don't see why it's such a difficult thing to explain that adults that love each other kiss each other in public or display any form of affection, why that's problematic or confusing. And I don't think kids would already automatically find that confusing unless they'd already been exposed to you know, aspects of culture that say that this is a straight world. Does that make sense, any of that? I know it's a lot.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense, caller. It definitely makes sense a lot. But thank you so much. I really appreciate your feedback on the topic. 646-902, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I just want to say that I think Sanaya is encouraging internalized homophobia, and I'm comfortable with my sexuality, and I love my man to pieces, and if I want to kiss or make out with him in public, then I will do so, because it's...
Caller, I have a question for you, sweetie. You called in on Monday, you called in yesterday and today. You have a very unique voice, and you have really strongly opinionated. So can you just give us a name that we can call you?
Bianca.
All right, Bianca. Thank you, sweetie. But go ahead. I just wanted to give the panel a name to call you. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay.
You're very comfortable in your skin.
Yes, I am. Thank you. And it's my life. It's my right. And people are worried about their children getting confused. But if they're really worried about their children getting confused, then they should teach them about love and tolerance. There's no need to hide love because straight people don't have to. That's people need to stop being a hypocrite and letting their children play with toy guns but trying to protect them from gay people. Like, stop it, Vibe. Stop it.
Yes, I love it.
No, I'm just saying.
I love it.
And I think Sanaya's great, but I just think that the gay community people shouldn't listen to everything Sanaya says because she isn't always right. I'm sorry. Listening to her will put gay people continue to be treated as second-class citizens. I'm not a second-class citizen, and you're not a second-class citizen. And this is why kids are having kids. Sex is so taboo that everyone thinks that they're protecting their kids, but they're not. And I know because I took a human sexuality class in college. So I know what I'm talking about. And that's really what I got to say.
Thank you so much, Bianca. I really appreciate it. Caller 347-889, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Jasmine? Hey, everybody. It's Sakina.
Hey, Sakina.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I know I got loud yesterday, but I'm not going to do that today because I want everybody to listen to me. I don't want people to, you know, automatically shut me out or whatever. But I'm not just saying it because, you know, Sanaya is my sister and I love her. Y'all got to understand that kids are like sponges. And she never really stressed that it's just the gay community. I think people are ignoring the fact that that's who she addresses in those videos. I know it's on YouTube and anybody could watch it. But y'all know that, you know, both throwbacks and all of them, they're aiming all of that to the gay community, the ballroom community, to be exact. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's really unfair for you guys to feel like, you know, it's something negative. I want to take the time to, like, use a real-life example of a heterosexual friend of mine. This doesn't even have anything to do with being gay. Like, her son was subjected to the wrong thing. She wasn't being mindful to it. He was, like, 7 years old at the time. Asked a six-year-old little girl, can he fuck her ass?
Who?
Yeah. Do you know why? Because he was being around the wrong shit. Everybody keeps saying kids watch, you know, all type of bad shit, you know, cursing, sexuality and all that on TV. This is true. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't learn that on TV. He didn't learn anything about anal sex on TV. You know what I'm saying? He shouldn't even know anything about putting a dick in an ass. Like, that shit is ridiculous. You know, and she had to face the reality that, yeah, her son has been seeing or hearing the wrong shit. You know what I mean? Kids are sponges. We have to be careful what we do around them. And I'm sure if Zanaya ever speak up on it, she'll say that the same thing goes for heterosexual people in her opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't do that.
Okay, so can I say something, Sakina?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Personally, what Zanaya said, I don't care.
Right.
I'm talking about just in general. My thing is, people are so gung-ho about homosexuality. This is what gets on my fucking nerves. And now, when I say this, please do not think I'm talking directly to you. I'm just saying this in general to everybody that's listening. These motherfuckers get on my goddamn nerves. They want to talk about homosexuality, but they around here laying up in the house while they're not married. They're around here letting their kids play with guns. That's promoting violence. They let them sit and play video games all day. They don't want them to, they don't help them with their fucking homework. What you need to focus on is the shit that you can help your child with. Stop worrying about what society is doing. Focus on what the fuck you can help your child with. Children are like sponges. This is true. But you got bitches who ain't doing shit. Why are you worried about me kissing my man? Remove your child from the, remove you. I saw a picture this guy posted where they had the stripper in the front room, but the baby's sitting right there looking too. What kind of shit is that?
Mm-hmm. But Miss Snow, can I ask you a question?
I'm listening.
Even with these ignorant parents that they really just, you know, they're not raising their kids, they're just feeding them and barely doing that. Like, don't you think that we have a little responsibility to try to do something to help these kids, even if we don't know them? That's just
but I'm not going to curve who I am.
Is J-Rock hear me?
If it was in the household, go ahead.
I wanted to add to J-Rock something. When you were saying, you know, that you had to don't ask, don't tell or whatever. That's sexual harassment, right?
And the only way that it's sexual harassment is if, like, say for instance,
talking about the training. The training was based on what?
The training was based on they was about to get rid of it, and the training was trying. In other words, they have to digress the whole community that if you say anything to a gay person, like say for instance,
right,
I was straight and you were gay and you were kissing your girlfriend or whatever, and I say something to you, I can get in trouble for that now because that is now harassing someone. It ain't even, that's just harassing. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, just because two people of the same sex are kissing. Now, if you say, like, my thing is, you cannot stop people from being grown-ups. You can only date, like the Navy told us, you have to be you have to train your own household. Say, for instance, you're a Christian, you're a straight person, you're with your wife. If your son sees that and say, Daddy, what they doing? You could say, it's the way that you tell kids. Kids only know what you tell them. If you say that's wrong and they going to hell, they're going to feel...
Can I just say that? That's my point. Like, I just feel like everybody is feeling like, you know, fuck the kids, they ain't my kids. Fuck them. That's your business. But I wanted to bring to your attention, like, if somebody... Some people are just homophobic, y'all. We just got to accept that. So that would mean that 9 times out of 10, they don't even bring that up to their children, and they've been avoiding it. But if they see it, right, you know, face up, and they ask one of their parents, like, you know, Daddy, they did that. That looked like a boyfriend and a girlfriend kiss. Like, what was going on or whatever? Like, you're forcing the parent to say that's wrong. Don't you think they're going to say that's wrong before they say that's right?
No, but you know what, though?
I agree with you. They will say it's wrong before it's right.
But I'm going to tell you just like this, Katrina. A lot of people, and this is what causes rebellion in kids. I'm not saying from, like the other child said, I took a class in college. I'm not telling you about a class in college. I'm telling you from experience of being a little gay boy. I knew I was a little gay boy. My parents tried to beat it out of me, but I knew what I was from the age of 4, and it's no shame. And I tried to stop when I was 10 and 11, only to wait till 19 to realize I am who I am. So my thing is, you got, it's, oh, my God. Like,
having this conversation, doesn't that
That's important that you said that, though, because, you know, a lot of us don't admit that. Those of us that's really gay, because, you know, some people just gay.
I hate when people say, oh, I wasn't gay as a child or nothing like that.
We have to accept that. Those of us that were born gay, when we're young, it takes a process for us to actually accept it, even if we're, engaged in it and sexual.
Hold on, J-Rock. J-Rock and Katrina, hold on one second, because somebody keeps pressing 1. 646-902, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm back. I just want to clarify, because he has said something about taking a college course. What I was talking about was, I was talking about the fact that sex is so taboo, and we always teach children different things, but we don't teach them about their bodies. We're so ashamed and so, you know, awkward about it. And that's why, that was my point, and that's what I was trying to say, that this is why kids are having kids. So that's why I brought up the class. And that's the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
But, so don't worry, I wasn't trying to throw my education around.
I knew you wasn't trying to throw your education around. I'm just saying you got some people that, you know, learn things about the human behavior through school, and some people that learn it because they actually had to go through this. You don't know how many times people have told me, who touched you? Somebody had to do something to you to make you that way when you was a child. And I'm like, nobody ever touched me. Nobody. You want me to tell you why I know that gay is wrong? Because the church told me it was wrong. Because my grandmother told me it was wrong. But then all of a sudden, when my grandmother started getting older and when she started finding out about it, you know what she tells my little brothers now, my little 16-year-old? I can't tell you what to do, but you need to know, respect every man and woman, and if it's your mother, your brother, your sister, you don't have to do what everybody else do. But your feelings is your feelings. And guess what? The parents that tell their kids that it's wrong, I'm that gay male that your kids keep talking to, and then they remain straight, but they look to me as to be their mentor. You see what I'm saying?
Can I ask you a quick question? Because I'm about to get off and go to bed. Like, your family knows that you're gay, right?
Yes, my whole family knows that I'm gay.
So you can bring your shorty, like, to Thanksgiving dinner and shit like that, right?
I'm going to tell you just like this. My family loves my ex more than they love me, and his family loves me more than they love him.
I want to ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, did you tongue your man down in front of your mom?
That's a difference. I'm not going to tongue
What's
him down
difference?
In front of every...
The difference is that
you No. You're not getting
respect.
It. You're contradicting.
That same respect, though.
No. You're contradicting.
Yeah,
wait, can
can I just say something? I don't think a lot of straight couples would tongue themselves down in front of their parents.
Thank you.
That's what I'm saying. It's not about homophobia. It's about respect, y'all.
It's about respect, exactly. Is that, yeah, I don't think that's tonguing that down.
It's about respect.
Kids.
But, Sakina,
it's not
that's
about
different.
Gay.
Sakina, listen, it's different in a closed setting versus when I'm out in public.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? If J-Rock is out with his boyfriend in the mall and him and his boyfriend is kissing, I can't do nothing about that. Now, if they come to my house, I hate to see shit like that,
yo. If I'm on the A-train and somebody, a fucking man and a woman, they fucking tongue it down, yo. You should see my face. I'll be ready to read the fuck out of them. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, go get a room and shit.
You're putting sexual content you're getting it mixed up. This is why it gets so wrong. If somebody kissed their lover, there's a difference between a kiss, baby, I'm about to go, or baby, have a good day, then, ooh, bitch, you feel me? No, you're putting sexual content with it. That's what they're saying. Nobody should be doing that. I don't care if you're
right.
Great.
So I need to watch the video and see if she said that. If she said not even a peck, because I don't remember that. I remember her testifying what kind of kiss it was. Like, y'all trying to beat her up tonight, man.
No, we're not trying to beat her up.
Nobody on the show is trying to beat her up at all.
Oh, no, I can never beat up mother.
I'm sorry, that's so open, Jasmine, and just saying, y'all, I'm sorry. But I was really talking about anybody that was really
No, I know what you mean. I know exactly.
We know what you're talking about, Sakina.
But, yeah, you know, anybody that knows Sanaya knows Sanaya is very opinionated, and she has a passion for what she says, you know, and what she believes in. So anything that she shares with you guys is all out of love and concern. So that's one thing that we need to keep in mind. And, you know, and thank you, Sakina. I'm going to put you on hold again. Thank you for coming on. But one thing I want to say to you people is this. And this is something that we've been dealing with for, what, Kelly, 5 years now. You know, a lot of people, it's like Alexa says, they build you up to tear you down. A lot of people take what people are doing in these videos as well as what people are saying on these radio stations, they take it too damn personal. And anytime somebody has something to say, they want to be turned. They turn around and get bashed for saying something. But everybody else is not speaking. Everybody else is not saying anything. Half of the people are hiding behind, you know, fake names and fake Facebook pages or private callers and stuff. But at least give her credit for even speaking and sharing. And the same thing with the people on this show that I appreciate and the people that I've invested my time in over the years that I appreciate. You know, give people credit for even being here and speaking, because a lot of you won't speak. A lot of you won't press one. It goes back to day one when Kelly was at every damn ball. Everybody wanted to run to Kelly after the ball and sit there and say, girl, I'm going to read on Monday. You need to read about this. You need to read about that. I'm going to press one. I'm going to press one. And how many weekend recap balls did we do that we sat there and it was time to talk about the ball? Nobody was saying anything.
Sure.
They would not say nothing. They would not press one. They wanted Kelly to say everything, and then Kelly gets the backlash, which she still gets the backlash to this day after a show. Somebody wants to call and text and say, I thought we were cool. Why would you say that? Everybody gets so mad at people saying something that they're so opinionated on. And there's one thing that I can't stand, just like I couldn't stand what happened last night between Evan and J-Rock. Just because somebody says something, they don't give nobody the right to come back and attack. That's why bitches are silent now, and people are scared to speak. 202-696, you're on the air.
My name is Marcus. I had to go to my other phone. But I wanted to make a comment and say that the world is evolving, and if we don't think that our children are being exposed to homosexuality at a young age, my niece, my nephews, they are in school with people in this house who they come from same parent you know, same gender parent having, and they're very much aware of that. I think that there are television shows that, you know, expose these kids to homosexual ideas such as Family Guy,
If you guys are on the phone lines, I'm sorry, I didn't say it earlier. If you guys are listening to it from a computer, start dialing now, 347-215-6820, because we're about to go into record mode. But, yeah, Marcus, you're right about that, because even, like, with Scandal, which I want to start talking about next, even with Scandal, when I started watching that, how they shut down and showed this man and so much power, having a husband, wanting to raise a child, working in, you know, college states and working in the White House and stuff, it just really shows that they're not afraid no more. They are showing us, and people are watching.
It's not as taboo as people. People are still living in the dark ages.
Mm-hmm.
People need, like Marcus said, the world has began to evolve. Shit that we couldn't do as a community, as a homosexual community, we are now allowed.
Right.
To do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
I wanted to reiterate, I don't think no one, because I didn't, like I told her today, I didn't watch the video. Because
I never watched it either.
A lot of those videos, even when Vicky got, unless it's somebody said, oh, girl, you got to catch it at this point. Somebody said, that's the only way. I don't even watch Ballroom Throwback videos sometimes. But a lot of people have to realize that it's not what it used to be. It's not that no more. You know, if people are really allowed to do what they want to do, if you choose to do it personally, let me tell you what it sounds like now. People are going back to, oh, y'all can't do this. No, I can do that. If you choose not to be a part of it, then that's on you. But you're not going to stop me from doing what I want to do, how I want to live my life, because this is my life. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. But you're not going to stop me from doing what I want to do with my life.
But I also think that, in a way, we also have to be some of what's the word. My family knows about me. However, we're now getting to that point to where my mother was like, well, Marcus, you know, you can always bring somebody home. Well, Mom, I know I can bring somebody home if I want to, you know.
Right.
I'm sure I could. She was just like, you know, I just ask that you have some decorum. Well, even if I was married to a woman, and, you know, or like my brother, he doesn't kiss his wife down in front of his kids.
Thank
and
you.
Do all of that. You know, there's certain things you do
in
your bedroom.
I think that's just,
that's what I'm saying earlier,
is
about respect.
It's just common sense. I didn't watch the video, so I didn't know how depth she got into it or what exactly did she say or what. I don't know. But I think some things are just common sense. I think a lot of times things get blown out of context, or people see certain situations, and then when they talk about it, it's just like a more broader.
Right. For example, even the most flaming queen, when they go around their grandmother, I'm sure they're not going to, unless they're in transition, they're not going to just, you know, wear their booty shorts to their grandmother's funeral. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's just, okay. Just certain things you're just not going to do.
Well, I'm going to give you a prime example, Marcus. I have been living a transgender life since 2005, right?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen my family in 3 years now. Because, well, I haven't seen my mother's side of the family. I talk to my father's. What the fuck is all that? I talk to my father's side all the time. They're on my Facebook page. So they know who I am, right?
Right.
Now they don't. When my mother knows that it took me to go to jail, write my mother and tell her, listen, I live my life transgender. I feel comfortable in this skin. So with that being said, I don't go home. When I go home, a lot of times, because being from the little small city in Georgia, the way I dress is common. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Back in Savannah, the girls will put on a pair of boy jean shorts, a tennis shoe. You know what I'm saying? It's common.
Right.
You know, so a lot of things, like you said, it's just common sense. Some things you just don't do. Like, you know how to carry yourself. So, like I said, I don't know exactly what happened for her to even bring that out. I don't even remember. I don't even know what the circumstances was or what all was said about it. But it's just like now it's becoming a thing. Like, we're bashing her. No, we're not bashing her, but I'm not going to change who I am just because. You know what I'm saying? Because you let your kids watch videos and they do violence and have sex all the time. You know, I don't see you running to take your turn from that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying.
All right, we have a
call,
a private caller. You're on here.
Yes, what's up? I agree with Alexis and Marcus. I believe his name is. What's up, Jasmine?
Hey,
I just think it become a little bit facetious.
Somebody 30? Thirsty? Hello?
Okay.
His call got disconnected, and he won't be able to get back on.
Y'all sounding real phony.
Well, Jasmine, before I make this statement, I just want to let everybody know that Devin hit me up, and we've been talking. Devin really apologized and everything. I don't know what was going on, but he actually apologized like a grown man, like no shade or nothing behind it. So I think that's good that people are grown enough to come and just apologize. And I was like, well, I'm sorry if I offended you or anything, but I guess he was just in his feelings or whatever, but he did apologize, just to let people know that.
Well, that's good that he apologized.
But I was going to say this about this situation. I find it funny every day. I've been doing the same thing in the Navy since 2007. I'm a career recruiter now. I just hop around the United States teaching other people how to recruit, and then they go back to the ships. But what's so funny is, like Marcus said, it's how you carry yourself. Because I never, you know, when I'm talking to people, parents, and I'm about to put their son, or I'm talking to a man, and I'm about to put his son in the United States Navy, I'm not like, well, look here, mister, let me tell you something, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not supposed to do all that and stuff. So I carry myself in a certain way, but then once they child get in, they be so grateful that I didn't got this dude off the street. He ain't selling drugs, or this person not getting in trouble no more. So they so grateful to me. But after I put your child in the Navy and they're gone, I'm normally thinking I'm done with you. So they'll see me out in public. Or now I'm being myself. Do you know they don't give two flying fucks that I'm gay? Even if they find out that I'm gay, and some have found out that I'm gay, guess what? They don't give a shit. They're looking at me as, this is the person that saved my child's life and mentored him for 5 to 10 months and made sure that he made it through basic training, and now he's a E4, E3, E5 in the military and doing something with his life. So I think it's how you carry yourself, even around my family. That's why they ended up, my grandmother told me this. She said, you know what? What made me start accepting you, out of 30 grandchildren, you are the only one that I don't have to worry about because you're not out there. I don't have every report I get back is good. The only thing that I don't agree with is your lifestyle. You have never sent me to no schools behind you or nothing. I never had to go to no jail cells. I never had to worry about you out there on the street looking over your back about to get killed like the rest of everybody. Not saying I'm better, but she's like, how am I shunning my gay grandson that will break his back to do for his family and do for me, and all he is gay? I need to check myself. So it's how you carry yourself.
Uh-huh. All right, enough is enough about all that. So I have a question for everybody. Did anybody watch Deception on Monday?
I did.
What was your opinion on it?
It was it was all right.
Did it make you want more?
It made me, because it wasn't as evasive as, because TV is, okay, first of all, TV is not what it used to be. So after sitting and watching Scandal, you know, Scandal just grabs your attention. Deception, it does that, but it's not as demanding.
Yeah.
But I do want to know who killed that girl.
Jason, you watch Deception?
Yeah, I watched it. Right? I watched it. Who?
What's your opinion on it?
I'm going to have to watch it again. and then make my decision. Because, like, the first time I watched
your attention.
Right, because, like, the first time I watched Scandal, I was hooked. The first episode of Revenge, I was hooked. That episode just kind of dragged out, and then the acting, like, the caliber of the acting of some of the people was just, like, really blah for me. So I'm going to need to see another episode to make up my mind.
Lana, did you watch it?
No.
Mark, did you see Deception yet? J-Rock, did you see Deception yet?
No, I'm not watching nothing until Scandal comes back on.
You know what I saw, though? You know what I saw? I don't know what Deception about. Is that Life Scandal? What is Deception about?
Deception is
with my wife, Megan Good.
What's her name?
Megan Good.
Yeah, Megan Good.
So, is it like, or what is
it's
it?
Kind of, it just don't grab my attention.
You know what I did see?
I think, do you think that we're being critical because we're such big fans of Scandal that we're going to judge all these other shows?
Well,
like
hold
that?
On, let's get this straight. First of all, everybody on this phone just became a fan of Scandal.
Not everyone.
Mm-hmm. Don't.
I have been
not
a fan since April 5th, 2012.
Okay.
So let's just make that understood. So you're not really a fan, you just got on the bandwagon.
Oh, no, you can't do that. See, some of us don't know these things because we don't watch television. I have a TV in my house now. Guess what? It's never on. Y'all hooked me on that. Because the reason why I don't watch TV is because nothing is on worth
TV
watching.
TV is not what it used to be. It's not. I need me back a Murphy Brown tea or something.
Or something.
You know what I did see that I thoroughly enjoyed? American Horror Story. I saw that for the first time last week, and that show's over. No shade.
Yeah,
I got life off
really
that.
Over.
I'm not a horror
tonight.
Fan, so.
But you know what? I'm not
everything.
A horror fan either, but it didn't have too much horror in it to me. I mean, it was just.
It's
it was
really
like
mind-bending. That's
yeah,
it
it's a more mind-bending.
It's very, very mind-bending.
That
so
show's
what do you
over,
guys
though.
Think about Scandal for tomorrow? Like, what do you guys know?
They need to shoot Becky.
That is horrible.
They need to kill it. This is what I want to know, Jasmine. I am still baffled about the family.
Right.
I really want to believe that is Huck's family.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I really feel it is. I feel it is his family somehow, some way. Might be a younger brother. That might be his younger brother, younger sister, or something. But I don't think the cunt knew. I don't think she knew that was his real family.
No,
I just think that she knew that was something that he liked so much that he had a passion for. You know, like somebody may buy a new car or a new house or something. They, you know, a pet. That was his passion. Every day I sit here and I look through the window, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, she said she's going to hurt where it hurts. She's going to get him where it hurts.
Well, bitch, she going to gag. Because Olivia going to get her.
So do y'all
so
think that she took
it.
That disc out of his pocket when she did it to him?
Does she know about the disc? Well, that's no challenge, girl. It's no telling what that show.
That show is a mess. Oof, it's a key. Were y'all all silent?
That was the best show I have seen in a long time.
Did Mark fall off to sleep or was he just high laughing in the corner?
Who, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Mark and Naima are very silent. Naima, what's your opinion on Scandal?
I had to catch up on it.
Did y'all see when they was torturing Huck? But he's still so he knows what's going on with the president. If you pay attention in one of the previews, he was like, is he still alive? He's in trouble if he's still alive.
Yeah, he knows.
So he knows something that's going on. Y'all think they're going to go to the hospital and try to kill him again?
Mm-hmm.
She a bad bitch as she do. I think everybody's starting to fall on everybody.
You think what?
Everybody's starting to tell. Now Verna wants to come back and talk about how she's sorry, she shouldn't have told. Bitch, please. She said that Bible thumping bitch is trying to blackmail me. I love that line.
Vonda, what are you doing?
I'm listening. I'm here.
Oh, that was cool.
The crowd is very, very silent.
So when are we going to get to the bottom feed up, bottom freakiest freak or whatever?
Yeah,
what does that consist of? The most raunchiest person?
Yes.
Oh.
Who gets that title for the week?
It goes to that guy that was getting pissed on.
No.
J-Rock, who gets it this week?
I couldn't tell you because I haven't seen no bottom feeders or nothing this week.
That one that was getting pissed on is just ridiculous.
We're talking about different topics and different things that we come across throughout the week. So you didn't see the guy getting pissed on?
No, I did not see anybody getting pissed on. Oh, but I'll tell you, no, I went to this club in Dallas called Babylon. Now, it's like when you walk in, it's just a regular club. I'm talking about DJ, the bar, the stage, everything. But
it had a back room.
It had a back room called the Sweat Box.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this hell Sweat Box? It's dark. You follow the arrows. Bitch, everybody's doing every and anything. And there was this stripper there named Hot Rod and somebody else named, Hot Rod, and I forgot the other guy name, but the reason why I can't remember him because let me tell you what Hot Rod did. First of all, he can't dance. He got up on the stage and he started getting on the stripper pole. He was butt-ass naked, and he was dancing.
That silicone ass?
Bitch, that ass was sitting, but it was very fake.
Oh, wait.
That's the silicone ass. Yes, that's the one that got pumped,
Sure.
Bitch. And that ass looks ridiculous. Go ahead.
It's a key when he's standing up, but when he's on the floor, yeah. But anyways, I'm not looking at that. When he started dancing, he was like, let me tell y'all what happened. This is what disturbed me. Some other dancer came over there that I guess is a normal dancer in Dallas, and I'm not going to say no names or nothing because everybody that was there seen what happened. This doggone dancer got on the floor, and he started, like, humping on him, and I'm telling myself, okay, well, whatever, that's what they're doing out there on the floor. And then I seen everybody just gathering around, and I said, well, why is everybody gathering around? I'm thinking that this guy is just in the motion or, like, just, you know,
really
putting on a show. This damn porno star had his dick in this boy's ass with no condom on in the middle of the fucking floor. So I'm going to have to say that the nastiest person that I have seen is fucking Hot Rod, fucking people. They went back in the sweat box, sucking all kinds of dicks and fucking everything. I've never seen that before.
He went back.
Ain't nobody.
That's how they make their money. That's how they make their money. Yeah.
But I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm not saying that, okay, I don't care how hot a stripper is, I don't care how hot a porno star is, why would you let anybody, for that matter, put their raw penis in you that, I mean, that you're not monogamous
with? Maybe they know
with
each other or trying to make a coin together. You know, there are stages where people do stage stuff like that.
Then I asked the other stripper, I said, do you know, you've been knowing him or whatever, which that doesn't mean nothing, but I'm just saying, I was trying to get something out of him. He was like, no, that's my first time meeting him. Bitch, I fell out. Because I was like, oh, my God.
But J-Rock, that's nothing new. The child was fucking a porn star in the bathroom in New York.
Child, a girl was
well,
fucking
let's get back to the BFF. Fonda, who's your BFF of the week?
I would have to say the guy getting pissed on. That's life.
That's what Pablo said.
Okay,
Mark.
Jason, who
are
you?
My BFF for the week goes to the boy that wanted to fuck instead of taking his $250.
Yes, ma'am. I was going to say that. You stole mine. That's my shit.
That's just ratchet bottom tees.
Naima?
I would have said the same thing.
Okay, so what is that?
That's like J-Rock four for him.
J-Rock went somewhere else. Lana and... Okay. Well, what is that? I don't know. Enrique, yours is the guy with the...
Who took dick instead of money and didn't get the dick. That one.
All right, I think it's a tie, Alexis, so break it. Which one do you think it is?
What is the tie between them?
The boy that was taking piss like it was Pepsi. Or the one that said he would suck dick and get fucked instead of taking the DJ money. That was munching for 20 minutes and didn't get the dick
off. Now, what's the title now?
Bottom
Freak. Well, I would just for the word freak, I would have to go with the one that was getting pissed on. Because that the DJ just sounded like a thirsty bottom. Ain't no way to hell, bitch. I want my money, and if that's, you know, if I get both. But, bitch, I want my money above all.
Damn hell.
Kelly, who do you want?
I would have to give mine to Alexis.
Ooh.
Oh, God. What did Alexis do today?
Mistake, Miss Alexis and her binges mistake, girl. Is he nasty, honey?
Now, Miss Kelly want to shake my table. Why does she want to shake my table again tonight? Girl, I didn't say that when you was fucking the
Alexis
client with
the bottom feeding.
I didn't say that when you was fucking the client with the strap on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Why run a strap on, bitch? Wait a minute. Y'all not going to pay if she says strap on.
Bitch,
my finger
is up, and I'm about the church.
I don't auction fuck for Ike Walker the other she ain't goes.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
And not only that, but she was doing it as a boy.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Holly.
Now, so you want to continue to shake my table?
You in that profession now? God, I know you used to read the girls that did that.
Oh, no. It was.
She was doing a double date with somebody else. She was helping somebody else get their coin.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were doing it then?
Yeah, but I know. No. Not like that. Okay,
right.
No.
You'll stop shaking my table from now.
Oh, girl, I'm not worried about you, Miss Clark.
Five, I done told you, five.
Stop it, five. Stop it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Eddie. But we're gonna talk about Miss Clark when she get on her BFF Benz, Miss Thing, and she be out there snow, Miss Thing, with all five different boys in her house, Miss Thing, and everybody be sucking and fucking, and she sitting there just snowing down.
Right, cause you wanna come and join in, but I tell you no, ma'am.
So these be Bush queens or these be straight? Well, I guess they Bush queens.
I don't even play with Bush queens like that, Enrique.
So let me straight boys turn each other down?
Yes, God. I let Kelly have them Bush queens. That's her department.
Honey.
So, Lester, when you had these boys come in your house, you ever afraid that they're going to come back to the house?
Baby, they're going to come back here. They're going to gang.
They will lose their marbles.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it, son.
Wow.
Kelly, I was running the car for a bitch.
Miss Thing, I love my iPhone. I could just sit here and play solitaire all day long.
Welcome
girl,
back. I'm glad you went back.
Yeah, what's going on with
family?
Solitaire? Why is it so hot in there?
I don't know. This is an old school game, but it just seems like it's popular on the iPhone, honey.
Yeah, it kind of tests Kelly's intelligence, so.
Is anybody playing Family Feud?
What is this Ruzzle shit?
I'm not just saying.
I'm currently playing Family Feud, and I know Tiffany is because we be playing against each other.
Oh, you got I got Family Feud on my Galaxy.
Downloaded for the iPad. I mean, for your iPhone.
Oh, well, I have to download that.
Ooh. Yeah, she's free. Did anybody go to the movies?
What's going on?
I don't know. I think everybody has been or something.
Hey, what?
Did anybody go to
the
holiday weekend?
I went to go see Parental Guidance, and that was a good movie.
I went to see The Hobbit.
How was that? I heard it was long.
What room did you watch it in?
What'd you say?
What room did you go watch it in?
My bedroom.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Lord.
Was it long?
Yes, it was long and good.
What was long?
Shit.
What are y'all talking about?
Wait a minute.
You're saying you got fucked by a hobbit? What is going on in this video?
That sounded real sexual, Jason. It was
real sexual. Like, wait a minute.
I'm, like, getting confused. All I heard was
in my Naima voice, not too much, J-Rock.
So I'm just saying, I had came back to the phone, and I heard something about what room did you watch it in, and it was long, and I'm like, what the?
Where
you
at the bookstore? They mighty quiet.
Somebody sent me a link that you can watch movies. And it's a really good link. So I watched The Hobbit. I watched Jamie Foxx.
Oh. I thought you said you went to a bookstore and got fucked by a hobbit in a room.
What are you watching that movie?
Need that link, Jason, I need that link. Because that's the second movie you said you saw off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try that out.
Don't do it.
J-Rock, you're trying it on my time, you midget.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to go about what I heard.
Rodney just said he was an original Scandal fan.
Rodney be drunk. He don't know what he watching.
Oh, shit.
Did anybody see any other movies?
I ain't been to the movie since, what was that?
The Avengers
came out.
Avengers?
I still haven't seen that movie.
Avengers?
I went to see Texas Chainsaw.
I thought you just came into the movie since The Bride of Chucky.
I'm gonna say something.
Vonna.
Yeah.
You mighty quiet, girl. What's going on over there?
So, Jasmine, Vonna
and
Naima
are very quiet.
So how long was Trey Songz in the movie before they killed him?
Bitch.
Kelly.
He was in the movie about 7 to 8.
No one on this phone is going to watch that. Going to go
Kelly,
see that movie.
Yes.
Please go in the back cave. The girls got their jack profile up. Please go in the back cave. Get you some.
Oh, mistake, honey. Hold on.
Please. Vonna, Naima, please.
Who's jack
so
profile?
Rude of y'all to sit there and tell
them. Who's jack profile? Got up.
Oh, my God.
That
I
is rude, Jasmine. I would agree.
I can't with the girls. I can't. I just can't. I give up.
Y'all are just so rude.
I can't with the girls.
That's why I refuse to open my pictures. And if I do, it's not for anything I'm ashamed of. No shame.
Mm. Well, Enrique, we've all seen your
shit. It's a show.
Nobody want to see that gray hand meat.
Yeah, okay, bitch. Okay, I'm glad. Good. Real good.
Oh, said Fred Sanford, look at me.
I will not.
You just try to make me show a bitch. I will not fall into that trap. Come on, pop.
It's not Fred. It's not. Shut up.
Enrique take his pants down and all you hear is burn, burn, burner. Burn, burn, burner. Burn, burn,
yeah.
Okay. I give up. I quit. I just quit. I quit.
Hey, Javin, let me ask you a question. Javin.
Yeah?
You're a pet owner, correct?
Yes.
All right, have you ever moved, and how did your pet adjust to your new place, or you had your pet since you lived there where you're at?
No. What?
Huh?
No, I thought I heard somebody talking. He adjusted. He adjusted because he had more space. And so,
okay.
So he was able to do a little bit more than he used to.
Okay. Good.
I have a pit bull and a Yorkie. The pit bull is, you know, who moved with me, not the Yorkie. But you know, the pit bull is big, so now he has like a bigger yard to like run and stuff and, you know, relax and everything. So he's able to do that because I have it's a screen out there where at my other place there was no screen, so the only area that he was able to run in was the pool area. But now he can run in the pool area and in the yard.
I know you're happy.
Yeah. Well, he's still getting on my nerves, but yeah.
That's what's up. But yeah, I'm gonna get off this phone because I gotta work tomorrow. It was great talking to you guys, and I'll see y'all next Monday.
Next
Tuesday.
Your first client must be on the way.
Well, you have a good weekend, Enrique.
Same with you guys. Same lady.
Enrique, say hi to the one hand man for me.
Well, turn over and say hi.
Yeah.
Not too much.
That'd be plain.
They do.
Good night, Enrique.
Good night.
Vanna. Yes.
What are you
doing? I can't take you with this yes. Girl, talk.
What is it giving over there? Like, it's real quiet and stuff.
It's not quiet. When I'm not talking, I push mute.
Oh.
Just Alexis, girl, do not try me, girl.
Vanna's over there laid up with her husband. That's what it is.
Oh, no. Not the husband.
They breaking in the new house.
We already did that.
Mm. Well, I know that's right, honey. Break it in, honey. Where's somebody at?
There's a lot of new things in 2013, honey.
No, where's the light at? The lighter was here.
What's all about the light up? You know, Kelly has started smoking weed all of a sudden, too.
Oh,
man. She got to fit in.
What is with this so nasty talking about?
Alexis, I don't fit in. I am the end. Okay, know that.
Girl, blow it out your ass.
Ooh. Okay, baby, I make you girls relevant.
Oh, shit.
Girl, how you make somebody relevant?
Okay, bitch. Okay, stop trying me, okay? I'm being nice.
Is that what you call it?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I cannot believe we lost half the crowd tonight.
Is that whoa. Sound like somebody breaking something down. What's going on?
That was, I just won the game in solitaire.
Oh, but I thought you was breaking it down.
No.
She
look in the drawer and get the black cover.
She said you was chopping up crack.
Ooh. No, he ain't not chopping. He ain't no crack, honey. We ain't doing crack this week.
Oh, not this week.
Oh, shit.
We ain't doing crack this week, right? We ain't doing crack this week. Nah, we ain't doing no crack this week.
So tell Israel that's an A.
Did anyone talk about Milan's room getting shut down?
Oh, Israel finally got shut down, thank you.
Yes, it was shut down finally. So when are we going to get, when is Jiggy Jive room going to go away?
Oh, I don't know.
Israel.
I enjoy her room, actually.
I'm sure you do.
When I go in there.
Is she still writing her book?
Oh, I don't know about all that.
Yes.
How long ago did it get shut down?
His room's been gone for about a week now. Somebody posted some naked pictures, and the next thing you know, it was gone.
Oh, her fan group gone.
They gotta be so disappointed.
Oh, you about to be? It's over with already. Damn.
What's okay. Over what?
Kelly, did I tell you my man came to see me the other night?
Yeah. You were supposed to call me back, bitch. You ain't never called me back today.
I got Sanaya called me. I was on the phone with Sanaya when you called me. But my man came over the other night, Trill.
It's some new girl.
Oh, I need to see him, honey. I need to get the party started, honey.
So what y'all gonna be exchanging crackers?
I told him the coldest winter ever. It's gonna be a slight chance, of, you know.
Yes, it is, baby, honey, baby. I gotta see you before then to give you my coin.
Yeah.
Did any of y'all watch the best funeral ever or whatever that show was?
That's Ratchet TV.
Ratchet, wasn't it? It was horrible.
I didn't even watch it. It was just Ratchet from what I understand.
J-Rock.
Oh,
yes. That funeral home, is it, you know exactly where it's at?
Yes.
Was talking about it last night.
That is Golden Gate Funeral Home.
You said that's one of the most prestigious funeral homes. That...
I did not say that.
Alexis, we like the tattoo show.
So what?
Black Ink.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about
who are those crackheads up there in Harlem?
Baby, that's right on what? That's right on 112 and 113 Phillips Avenue.
Bitch, I was that black one with the rotten teeth and the green shit. No. Hold on. Do y'all know that Shawty Lowe from Atlanta is about to have a reality show about him, his 11 kids, and his 10 baby mamas?
No, that show's not going to make it to the air.
Are you fucking serious?
There's a petition out right now.
I need to sign it. That's just utterly.
It's on my page. I'll put your name on. It's a petition now.
Oh my God.
That they're trying to
believe.
Get that ban from coming on television.
I couldn't believe he was about to bring it on TV.
Why they want to get it banned from television?
Because that's an embarrassment to black people. This man has 11 children and 10 baby mamas.
Baby, that's how I like the projects.
What we want to know about y'all?
Baby, that's how I like the project. That's how I like my uncle. He had a baby mama.
Shit.
He had a baby mama on 7. He had a baby mama on 14. He had a baby mama on 19. He had a baby mama on 20.
I mean, but what do we want to know about them for them to be on TV?
Honey, we want to know about their life. Honey, we know about everybody else's life, bitch. Why we can't know about Shorty Low life?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I know he done it all. That's all.
Did y'all see the T-Bar show?
Who? Oh, Lord. Everybody got a reality show. What's she talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But you know what show I actually do like? Mary.
I don't like them because they don't like gays.
Oh, well. They don't like, just like me. I like this show.
Mitch,
how they don't like gays and Mitch is gay?
Yeah.
They hang with
Mitch, their manager.
So what do y'all think about what Fantasia said and her little tyrant?
Girl, she can't even talk right. I don't have nothing to say to her.
Did y'all catch the shade that Mariah, a classic shade, in that interview with Barbara?
Did y'all catch Barbara Walters rapping?
Oh, Lord, no.
How many of y'all look forward or are going to watch American Idol?
It hasn't been the same in a long time.
You know I love my American Idol girl. You know I'll be there perched.
It hasn't been good like it used to be.
How's it gonna make you feel, Kelly? Though, like, you look for, what do you really think about Nikki and Mariah's opinion on it?
I really don't pay the judges' opinions any mind, honey. I'm all about the contestants.
Mm-hmm.
The judges is just there, just to be there, honey. But I'll be looking for the best talent, honey. I was over X Factor this season, honey. They let that motherfucker, that big ass motherfucking country man win, honey. And that little girl should have won.
Yeah, she should have won. I think, like I told Jason, I think the only reason why he won was because of the fact that how they kept promoting him as every song he sung was to his wife and all that stuff. You know, those folks was probably melting in there. Wishing they had a man that was dedicating songs to them. So That's why he probably got so many votes, because it wasn't.
I think the only reason that they let him win, just like the whole thing with the motherfucking the dance thing that Laomi and was on, all of that shit is already rigged. They already know who's gonna win already, bitch. I think the only reason they let him win because he was so old and they know that girl's gonna get a record deal anyway.
But like what? He didn't win.
Sometimes I think it's better that you don't win, because then you don't have to be contracted to them for that, like, that year and stuff, and have to do everything they want you to do. And
but they always
say
the runner-ups, they always say all the runner-ups always do more than the people that actually win anyway.
Exactly. They have an opportunity to do more because they can go with major companies and promote across the country, not promote as X Factor, you know, or American Idol. Yeah, but that little girl was my favorite.
Yeah, I love me some Carly Rose St. Clair.
You just said you love you some Coke.
No. I said I love me some Carly Rose St. Clair. I said not no Coke,
Vonna.
Jason.
Vonna!
Vonna's gone. She must have gotten disconnected.
Oh.
Let me see.
Oh, please.
Wait.
Is Mark still on your phone?
Yeah, he's there. Mark?
Mark is asleep, too.
It's just J-Rock, Jason, Naima, who's so silent. Girl, where you at?
She got a date.
She got a date.
I'm listening. Where?
I was about to say, Jason.
She got a date over there.
Naima, why are you not talking?
She got a date over there rubbing her feet.
Okay. No, I
watch a lot of movies. Did you see anything over the holiday season?
No, I didn't.
I hope he got industrial gloves on.
Naima's not in a playful mood. I got her upset. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Naima. I'm still beat your ass in the PlayStation 3.
If y'all don't stop that fucking growling.
Oh, Lord.
But y'all want to talk about me, about how I talk to my dog.
Yeah, you and Kelly are the worst with the dogs.
No, I'm not the worst with the dogs. My little girl, she about to come into her period, honey. And RJ trying to get some, honey, and she growling at him. Really, that shit get on my nerves, honey.
Yeah, keep them in two sides, separate sides of the house.
Yes, I can't wait for Scandal. I can't wait for Scandal, honey.
Well, yeah, I'm about to go because my phone is beeping like retarded, so I think it's
about
to shut off.
I have a test in the morning at 10, so.
Yeah, I guess we should wrap it up since everyone is, you know. So everybody say their good nights for the evening. J-Rock, it's only you.
Everybody, good night and have a blessed one. And you pray for me, and I'll pray for you.
Poor J-Rock, that's hot. Jason?
Good night, everyone. Talk to you all next week. Have a blessed and safe weekend. Don't forget to wrap it up if you're going to play.
Thank you, Jason. Naima?
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Naima. Kelly.
No, Alexis.
She hung up.
She hung up. Oh, that's it. My phone went dead, honey. I love y'all all for loving me, honey. Don't forget to tune in Monday night. We'll be live back on the air, honey. Good night.
Good night, Kelly. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Save Emergency Show. Next week, we're going to have a deep conversation about all this gay bashing that's going on and stuff. So make sure you tune in for next week's topic. And if you guys have any topics or anything like that that you want to come across, hit me up in my inbox. Thank you so much. Have a safe weekend. And we'll see you next week on Monday. Bye-bye.